It's showtime.
It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
France!
Germany!
UK!
America!
Here we go! Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are off and running for the final Friday broadcast of May 2021. May is about to go into the history books. We have one more broadcast for Monday, Memorial Day, the 31st. But this will be the last Friday on the front porch for the month of May. Hi, I'm Robin. This is The Horn. Pop on over to headon.live and pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you don't already have one. Jump into the chat room and augment your listening experience by being part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn Chat. If you do so, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Kid Mark over in Germany, and Roger and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, well, we know what the weather's like out in Northern California, and even though he's a third-stage guild navigator, he does not want to fold space into the heart of the sun. Smart third stage guild navigator, that's Sparky. Yes. Nonetheless, you'll have a wonderful time if you pop by. And, of course, it is Friday on the front porch, and that means in about 57 minutes or so, we will gather together in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, in which we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather on every Friday. And whereat Sparky occupies the seat of honor. And we'll see what's on everybody's minds, because whatever I'm talking about ain't necessarily what other people want to talk about. And you know what? We always welcome new conversationalists to the Friday on the Front Porch Roundtable. If you've never tried it before, jump in. It can be a little raucous. It can be a little busy. But you've got a great chance to engage in a conversation, bring your ideas to the fore. And for those who can't manage to use Skype, and you know what? You don't even have to have Skype to participate anymore. All you got to do is click on the link there at headon.live, and it'll carry you right into the room. So enjoy the conversation. Participate, please. You are welcome to. New listener, old long-time listener, never called, never participated in the conversation. Let's expand it. I think it would be wonderful. We need more women's voices in the in the Friday on the Front Porch conversation. We badly need more women's voices. We need a broad panoply of opinion for these group discussions. So please help yourself and avail yourself. And of course, if it's an absolute non-starter, you can always use, or one of you can always use, the stress line, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. Well, good evening to you, Anatole. Thank you for that. Every program here at The Horn, of course, begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to our 28th day of the month subscribers via PayPal. And what does that mean? Well, that means thanks. That means thanks to Randy and PA. Thank you to Sharon. Thank you to Suman. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you all so very much for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep the program on the air. So here we are, and the fundraising goal, we'll just make it the fundraising goal to close out May. Okay? And the fundraising goal to successfully complete the month of May is $900. So hopefully we can pull together a Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle this evening. I'm going to be on the road tomorrow and possibly even Sunday, depending on how things time out. I'm running over to Virginia to support the campaign of Mark Levine for Lieutenant Governor, because it would be awfully nice to have a member of the diversity community and someone who is an opponent of mountaintop removal running the Senate of the Commonwealth of Virginia. So that's what I and if we've met the if we've made the fundraising goal, that will make it a lot less stressful as I travel. A little bit of an update. I said you don't even need Skype. Brother Deacon Asa says that's a wee bit misleading. Sorry. You do need to be on a Windows 10 machine with the latest updates, or otherwise, Nick-ups. You need to be on a Windows 10 machine with the latest updates, or otherwise you will need Skype. For example, it won't work for folks on Linux without Skype. Thanks for clearing that up, Brother Deacon. And the error was entirely mine. So, damn nicotine hiccups. I've got to start, by the way. I'm starting to taper off of these things because I've got to be absolutely nicotine free. Turns out that nicotine is a not just smoking, but nicotine itself is a great impediment to healing of things like wounds and sutures and skin grafts and whatnot. So I have to be completely nicotine clean in order to do a lot of the things that I'm hoping to be able to do. So that's another, it's just another process. It's just another thing that that I have to do, and I'm happy to do it because I'm happy. And that's it's just wonderful. Yeah, you have to be on a Windows 10 machine, so I think that would include Apple products. Yeah, Ralph's asking relative to the Front Porch Group or Apple products. Yes, I think that is the case. Did you say four? And I didn't even hit an errant drive, said Billable Rick. Wow, did I? It all goes by so quickly. But let's get the program started the way we most every evening do. Honey Hut, Honey Badger. Robin. Yesterday, President Joe Biden made a stop in Cleveland to promote the infrastructure plan that he hopes to implement someday soon. The president stopped by an ice cream shop called the Honey Hut for a tasty treat. A young woman headed off for college next fall greeted the president and posed with him for pictures. The young woman looked just like Richard's granddaughter, Julia, who will be off to Kent State next fall, just as I was 40 years ago. I met some wonderful people from all over the world at Kent State, and I would like to share one of them with you a little later. That young woman and the president made me think of Richard's story about the time he caught up to Harry Truman in Cleveland in 1952. Richard has autographs and pictures from many famous politicians, athletes, and movie stars. He left a collection behind worth about $60,000 for his sons to fight over. Well, as it turns out, President Truman was not amenable to giving a 10-year-old Richard an autograph because, as Truman put it, "If I sign for you, kid, then I'll have to sign for everybody else." A very witty Richard looked at the president and said, "Mr. President, there's nobody else. You see, Mr. President, my sister Margie and I just snuck down this back alley into a service elevator at this hotel and right past the Secret Service into a kitchen just to see you." Truman just left Richard and his sister Margie with some Cold War words. Hey, kid, stop sneaking around. Jeffrey with some kitchen up to do.
Well, I guess the heat in the kitchen was just too hot for Harry, because upon Richard's request, President Truman just gave Richard the give-him-hell-Harry routine, when all Richard did was tell the
truth. At this point, I want President Joe Biden to start giving him some hell, Harry. To view choice people and forget about being a nice honey nut and become a honey badger. The honey badger is one of the most ferocious animals, primarily based in Southeast Asia. Did I say Asia? What am I, a Kennedy? The honey badger will take on all comers, including king cobras, lions and tigers, the whole jungle, but not giraffes. The honey badger is a badass. The president stood there yesterday and had names of senators and House reps that have gone back to their districts to brag about what the COVID package has done for their districts and states. Biden did not read the names. Hey, Joe, it's time to read the names. Yes, it's time to start kicking ass and taking names and reading them off to humiliate those who are trying to take credit for something they voted against. On this day in history, we lost a badass as poet and songwriter Gil Scott Heron died 10 years ago on this day. Jeffrey walks around all day singing Whitey on the Moon. And Jeffrey puts his badass on.
On this day in 1830, a real badass, an ass of a president, Andrew Jackson, signed into legislation the Indian Removal Act, which eventually forced Native Americans such as the Cherokee, Choctaw, Chickasaw, Muscogee, Creek to be pushed out of their home territories into places such as Oklahoma. Andrew Jackson was just a bad person, not a good badass.
By the way, per last night's show, you mentioned the taking of pictures when you were Bob and how much you hated having your picture taken as Bob. I have one of those pictures from the Molloy Fest down in Georgia, and you really looked anguished in the picture, and now we know why. You look so happy and wonderful in all your latest pictures, and Jeffrey and I are so happy for you these days. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Jeffrey. Also, from the first Molloy weekend in the fall of 2018, I still have my little rock that Jude had sent to all of us at the festival that weekend because she couldn't make it that weekend. Thank you, Jude. And finally, I just want to mention a man from Kent State who was very instrumental in Joey graduating from college, and Flavio would have loved this gentleman. His name was Douglas Umstead Radcliffe. He was an amazing intellectual who could speak eight languages and was a man of the arts. He loved the theater and would often take students from Kent State to Broadway on long weekends. He was from Baltimore and graduated from the prestigious Johns Hopkins University and received his doctorate in philosophy from the University of California, Berkeley. He was the professor of Romance Languages, department chairman of Romance Languages at Kent State from 1977 to 1992. He was my original counselor when I was a freshman and helped guide me through some rough patches while at Kent State. Robin, you mentioned last night that this is not algebra. Well, in my case, it was algebra that nearly kept me from graduating from college. You too? After many conversations with this wonderful man, he guided me on an unusual path. He mentioned that he knew the staff at Akron who could basically help me finish my degree algebra-free. I, too, had to do the same. My friend and counselor, Douglas Umstead Radcliffe, made one phone call and sent me over to Akron to finish my degree. He had designed a curriculum all of his own, and because he was so well-respected throughout the country as a collegiate administrator, his recommendation was accepted, and Joey graduated from Akron U with his bachelor's degree in the arts. Yeah, what does an English major need with... I mean, that was the case with me. What does an English major need with algebra? We had mentioned earlier this week of the worst crash in U.S. aviation history, and one can only imagine how I felt on March 22, 1992, when I turned on my television that Sunday night, to hear that my mentor and good friend was killed in a plane crash along with two Kent State students. The U.S. Airjet with my friend and the students was leaving New York's LaGuardia Airport after a weekend of taking in Broadway plays and musicals when it could not get safely off the ground. A witness stated that the plane bounced twice before ending up in Flushing Bay in Queens, New York. I have to say, nothing's more stunning than personally knowing someone who's died in a domestic air crash. So I close out this week saluting my dear friend Richard and Douglas Umstead Radcliffe, both of whom are my friends and mentors in this life. Lest I forget, a happy Memorial Day, a peaceful and reflective Memorial Day to one of my greatest friends and mentors, my father, who served on a Navy cutter ship during the Korean conflict. Happy Memorial Day to all of you who have served this country. And Memorial Day, of course, is for the people who served this country and never came home. This has been Joey's Journal for Friday, the 28th day of May, with Giraffe doing his best honey badger imitation toward the maggots. And there's a $10 honey badger challenge. That'll get us down to $8.80, if it is net. So, well, actually, we're already at $8.80. $10 down and a $10 challenge for a new donator or recurring new subscription. That's from Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you, Jeremy. So, we're started, and we're working our way. Thank you so very much. Going back to groups we would like to hear from in the, Scott in San Diego says, another group we'd also like to hear from on the front porch, disenfranchised members of the Pepsi generation, or fans of New Coke. P.S., whether it's nick-ups or hiccups, if you kiss each elbow once and yell bingo, they will immediately stop. Well, I'll try that next time. That's just wacky enough that it might work. Billable Rick says, Giraffe deserves a double cowbell for these, Jims. Jeffrey with some kitchen up to do. Well, I guess the heat in the kitchen was just too hot for Harry. Yeah, I agree. And there's the perfect answer to my question. What does an English major need with algebra? Steve in New York says the same thing God needs with a starship. Yeah. What music? There's no music. None. Really, none. I don't know what's going on there, Anatole, but there's no music coming from me at all. So maybe see if your other players are playing, because I don't even have anything up but my microphone. We don't even have any yowling cats. And by the way, Jeremy says, subject line, nicotine. You're death stick free, and I'm still soda free, close to 4 months now. Well, Jeremy's soda free for 4 months. How can it be me? There's nothing playing. Literally nothing playing except me. Of course, I don't know if Sparky meant when Sparky said it's you, if he meant it's me, or if he meant it's Anatole. No, it's Anatole. Thank you, Sparky, because I was about to lose what remains of my tiny little mind. Now Jeremy's close to 4 months soda free, and this June 15th will mark 9 months death stick free. And that means now it's time for me to start working on the nicotine pouches free. Because what they allowed me to do, and for anybody who wants to quit smoking cigarettes, I still think, I mean, I have to quit them because of surgical requirements. But anybody who wants to quit smoking cigarettes, these things have proven to be a godsend. I had tried to quit in the past with patches, with gum. I tried cold turkey, and it was all a miserable failure. But this time, highly motivated, and these pouches just work because, you know, if you tuck it up there in your behind your upper lip, roughly where your eye teeth would be, there's a little pocket, and it's called the buccal pocket, B-U-C-C-A-L. And apparently it's highly absorptive. And so you pop that nicotine pouch up in there, and the nicotine craving from a cigarette is just gone. And it's amazing. The first time I tried it, it was like, okay, I can quit cigarettes. And that bought me time to beat the physical hang-up of constantly having a cigarette in my fingers. well, not in my fingers, between my fingers. And so now that and that's not an issue anymore. I don't reach in the car. I don't reach into the little cubby hole for my pack of cigarettes. I don't reach for where I kept them. By the bed. I don't reach for. There's no ashtray in front of me anymore. The studio smells of a refreshing, light citrus aroma. I don't know where Agnes found that stuff, but it's fantastic. It's citrus air freshener. And I don't feel a threat of going back to smoking. But still, breaking the nicotine habit is going to be rough. And, you know, eventually, you know, I'll taper down, but eventually it'll be cold turkey. Cold turkey, says Steve in New York. Of course cold turkey doesn't work. You need to go cold Braunschweiger. Yeah, okay. That's a cowbell. Sure. What, Jeremy? The music. Just admit it was a psyop because no singing while we have a balance due. Just admit it was you. It's a psyop. Because no singing while we have a balance. Right. Yeah. But unfortunately, the cat's already... Well, no, not cats in bags. I don't like that analogy. And because he calculates things like this, Brother Deacon Asa says, there's no music coming from either stream. Thank you. And you are 256 days and 17 hours smoke-free. And you know what? I'm willing to believe that's true. Because Brother Deacon Asa is the kind of Brother Deacon who keeps up with that kind of stuff. So here we are at the end of the week. And, ugh. It gets so godforsaken frustrating, these stories over and over and over again. Namely, Senate Republicans blocking, they did it today, Senate Republicans blocked the January 6th Commission. Now, it did have bipartisan support. Six Republicans joined in with Democrats. And with four more, the bill would have advanced, but there were not four more. And I will leave it up to you to determine whether or not that was cynical on the part of those Senate Republicans, the six who voted with the Democrats, or whether they were genuinely and legitimately interested in finding out the truth about what happened on the 6th day of January, when a gang of thugs attacked the capital of our nation. Let's see. Yeah, I've got the story here. Republican Senators Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Rob Portman of Ohio, Bishop Willard Romney, and that new and different kind of Republican, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, they all voted aye. And Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania said he wasn't there, he had some sort of family obligation, he said. But he said he would have voted aye, too. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Still pulled up 3 short. And don't think for a minute that chinless Moscow Mitch McConnell didn't know exactly what the count was going to be. Now, I have read multiple stories today. One of them said that... Senator Joe Manchin was frustrated, very frustrated. We got some bipartisan, but we didn't get enough bipartisan. I'm frustrated by the Republicans, so frustrated. Well, here's the funny thing. He can channel that frustration into making sure that Republicans can never do that again. But no, no, he's bipartisan. And he's not going to kill the racist institution that is the filibuster in order to find out what happened in that attack. Oh, yeah, and curtsying Kirsten Sinema didn't bother to show for the vote. So it could have been, with Pat Toomey and Kirsten, it could have been 58, just too short. And so, you know, this vote tells us, as if we needed to know, a lot about the Republican Party. Those wild-eyed maniacs would have gladly strung up any senator they got their hands on, Republican or Democrat, with a few notable exceptions. You may even recall the video of the one guy going through Ted Cruz's shit and saying, oh, he was against it. No, he's for us. Okay, it's an unpatriotic, anti-American embarrassment, the vote today. And again, because he is in fact vying with Ron Johnson to prove that he is to prove that he is the stupidest man in the Senate of the United States. Note, I said man, because that leaves plenty of room to operate for Marsha Gedneth Blackburn of Tennessee. But Tommy the Tuber said he was upset about having to be there in Washington, D.C. doing the job that the good people of Alabama sent him there to do. He said, we're in the fourth quarter of life. Because everything's a football reference to Tommy the Tuber. You know who we're doing this for? You. This is when he was speaking to reporters. We're in the fourth quarter of life. You know who we're doing this for? You. I'd rather be fishing right now. Or golfing. Then resign, you stupid boob. And of course, everybody, responded the same way I did. Then quit. Quit. Why did you run? Did you just want your name on some letterhead like you allegedly were when you were partners in a hedge fund that scammed people out of millions upon millions upon millions of dollars? Is that what it is? God, they do. Sorry, Haley. They do grow them dumb in Arkansas, because that's where Tommy the Tuber's from. Forgive me. That's not a blanket condemnation, and nobody knows better than our sister Haley just how stupid things can be there. Sometimes almost as stupid as, you know, Alabama. No, but it went on and on. Now, Steve in New York says, here's me making a prediction. Joe Manchin is going to use this vote to blow up the filibuster. So let it be written. So let it be done. And sends me a graphic of a guy way out on a skinny limb. If that is in fact how it plays, then, I'll be grateful. But I've got too many years of history watching Joe Manchin play his delay, fail game. Too many. Now, Chuck Schumer, who remained painfully civil, was obviously irritated with what happened with the vote.
News. Republicans worked with Democrats on comprehensive legislation to strengthen our commitment to scientific research, which will pass the Senate when Senate resumes session. The bad news. The Republican minority just mounted a partisan filibuster against an independent commission to report on January 6th. Both efforts should have moved forward in a solidly bipartisan way. But out of fear or fealty to Donald Trump, The Republican minority just prevented the American people from getting the full truth about January 6th. The Republican minority just prevented the Senate from even debating the bill. No opportunity for amendments, no opportunity for debate. There was an attempt by the Republican minority to shunt this vote into the dark of night. But because of today's Senate time agreement, it was done in broad daylight. The American people will see how each Republican senator voted. Now, this should have been simple. The commission was bipartisan, independent, straight down the middle. House Democrats accepted every change that House leadership requested. Speaker Pelosi and I supported and still do support the changes Senator Collins proposed. And we told that to other senators. Senate Republicans for months publicly supported the idea of a commission. But now, all of a sudden, the Senate minority and the Senate minority leader waged a partisan filibuster against the bill. This vote has made it official. Donald Trump's big lie has now fully enveloped the Republican Party. Trump's big lie is now the defining principle of what was once the party of Lincoln. House Republicans canned Congresswoman Cheney for the crime of telling the truth that Joe Biden is president. Republican state legislatures, seizing on the big lie, are conducting the greatest assault on voting rights since the beginning of Jim Crow. Republicans in both chambers are trying to rewrite history and claim that January 6th was just a peaceful protest that got a little out of hand. And now this, a partisan blockade of a simple, independent, bipartisan commission. I've heard all the excuses why Republicans are opposing this bill. It's too early. It goes on too long. It's not needed. Almost all of these excuses are meritless and were invented in the past 2 weeks. We all know what's going on here. Senate Republicans chose to defend the big lie because they believe anything that might upset Donald Trump could hurt them politically. We've all lived through the horrors of January 6th. I was no further than 30 feet from those white supremacist hooligans. Do my Republican colleagues remember that day? Do my Republican colleagues remember the savage mob calling for the execution of Mike Pence? The makeshift gallows outside the Capitol? Men with bulletproof vests and zip ties breaking into the Senate gallery and rifling through your desks. Police officers crushed between doorways. Shame on the Republican Party for trying to sweep the horrors of that day under the rug because they're afraid of Donald Trump. Our democracy has long endured because leaders of good faith, even if they disagreed, even at political cost, shared a fidelity to the truth. Not so today.
Fact. It's a fact. And so where that leaves us, I mean, is it just dead? The House is going to go forward, Nancy Pelosi said, with a committee to investigate. But it would have been ever so much better if it had taken place in both houses of the Congress. Matt in San Francisco says, I want to know everyone who did not vote. They're pulling down $175,000 a year. The least they could do is fucking vote. If they continue to get nothing done, they're further ensuring future insurrections, which next time could succeed. I hate them, says Matt in San Francisco, and I understand. And I did. So Kyrsten Sinema didn't show. Pat Toomey didn't show. And I really want to know why Kyrsten wasn't there. That sounds to me, in both of those cases, both of those were going to be I votes, but they wouldn't have gotten us close enough. That tells me that it was a foreordained conclusion, and they damned well knew what the vote count was going to be, because otherwise, it was within two votes. So they knew. They knew the fix was in.
They knew it was a boat race. Jesus. It's disgusting. Even Joe Manchin showed up. And you know, there's other stuff that accompanies all of this that's worth considering. Stephen New York says, I was fucking right. The geo-fascists served up an EFIS pitch to the Democrats in a swing and a miss. Schumer should have said the following. The Republicans are voting against the Insurrection Commission because they are in favor of the insurrection. I don't know. I think it could have been said a little bit more elegantly. They were afraid of what the Insurrection Commission would find. And I covered this last night. Constitutional scholar Mike Lee, Tommy the Tuber, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, and Josh Hawley Smoot. Josh Hawley, shit! We're in this up to their goddamned eyebrows. And the thing is, it may yet come out, and it may come out over in the House of Representatives, because Matt also points out, Nancy to the rescue. Now Nancy will take up the investigation, and the Republicans will shout that it's a partisan witch hunt. Have I mentioned lately how much I hate these people? Amen, Matt. Amen. And the choir sings, amen. Ralps says, these 11 senators didn't vote on the January 6th commission ballot. Patty Murray of Washington had a family emergency. Marsha Gedneth Blackburn of Tennessee was a no-show. So was Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri, who's not even running for re-election. Republican Senator Mike Brown of Indiana, no. Republican Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina, no show. Republican Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma, no show. Patty Murray, as aforementioned. Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota, nope. Senator James Risch of Idaho, nope. Senator Richard Shelby, who is retiring, of Alabama, nope. Pat Toomey and Kyrsten Sinema, as previously mentioned, nope. Roy Blunt couldn't vote against his junior Senate colleague from Missouri, and he damn sure didn't want to vote for it, so they just absented themselves. Those are all senators who had someone, their mom was calling. The dog ate their agenda. If Patty Murray had a legitimate family emergency, I'm just trying to figure out what the family emergency is. And all of this went down, we need to understand, right after prosecutors had revealed and this story comes from Law and Crime. Hours before Senate Republicans killed an independent commission to investigate the January 6th siege, federal prosecutors disclosed communications about how Oath Keepers allegedly plotted to storm Washington, D.C. with guns in an amphibious attack by way of the Potomac River. These discussions became public in a filing seeking to maintain the strict pretrial release conditions of Oath Keepers member Thomas Caldwell, and that right there by itself is enough to... Did you hear that language? Because that right there is enough to make you eat dirt and run rabbits. The strict pretrial release conditions of Oath Keepers member Thomas Caldwell. Prosecutors allege he organized a group of militia members on standby with guns in a hotel across the river in Virginia. And he's on pretrial release. Yes, I know, the Constitution says everyone's entitled to a reasonable bond in all cases except murder. But Jesus, really? strict pretrial release? Why isn't he under strict lockdown? Especially with knowledge like this. They burbled and grunted at each other about a worst-case scenario where President Donald Trump will call us, this is a quote, calls on a supposedly encrypted chat board, calls us, Trump calls us up as part of the militia to assist him inside D.C. And then they started quoting Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, the Florida chapter of the Proud Boys, Kelly Meggs, their leader, said that it would be like the American Revolution, and cited Paul Revere's ride and said, listen, one, if by land, the north side of the Lincoln Memorial, and two, if by sea, the corner of West Basin and Ohio is a water transport landing. And knowledge of the water the amphibious assault has been around since February. The New York Times having broken the story. And shortly after the three militia members were arrested last month, prosecutors said that they were some of the first rioters to have planned their part in the attack on the Capitol instead of merely storming the building spontaneously. So Kelly Meggs wrote to another insurrectionist, "Can't believe I just thought of this. How many people, either in the militia or not, who are still supportive of our efforts to save the Republic, have a boat on a trailer that could handle a Potomac crossing? If we had someone standing by at a dock ramp, one near the Pentagon for sure, we could have our quick response team with the heavy weapons standing by, quickly load them and ferry them across the river to our waiting arms. I'm not talking about a bass boat. Anyone who would be interested in supporting the team this way, I will buy the fuel. More or less be hanging around, sipping coffee and maybe scooting on the river a bit and pretending to fish. Then if it all went to shit, our guy loads our weps and Blue Ridge militia weps and ferries them across. Dude, if we had two boats, we could ferry across and never drive into D.C. at all. Then get picked up. Is there a way to please pass the word among folks you know and see if someone would jump in the middle of this to help? I'm spreading the word, too. Genius if someone's willing and hasn't put their boat away for the winter." Jesus Christ. They had an insurrection, but they were plotting civil war. They were plotting taking up arms against the government of the United States. And that, in case you're wondering, is one of the strict counts of treason that is enumerated in the Constitution of the United States. But no, Tommy the Tuber'd rather be fishing or playing golf. And one more thing. This. I have said repeatedly that I am deeply suspicious of and do not trust the motives of Dick and a Wig Cheney. And I've read, like I said, I've read multiple accounts throughout the afternoon of what went down. And I have not found a single pull quote from Dick and a Wig Cheney deploring her Republican colleagues in the Senate. And not a word from Dick and a Wig Cheney calling out Marsha Goodness, Blackburn, Roy Blunt, Mike Braun, Richard Burr, Jim Inhofe, Mike Rounds, James Risch, Richard Shelby, or Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania for being no-shows. Her silence speaks volumes. Now, maybe I just missed it. If there's a story out there saying that that Dick and a Wig Cheney has criticized the Republicans who killed this inquiry, then I damned well would like to know it. Flavio pointing out, strict pretrial release is only for white people. See, it says Brother Deacon Asa. Vanilla ISIS stay true to their words. They were bootstrapping and using their own boats for the insurrection. David in South Carolina stands says, to me, a direct attack on our capital is an act of war. I know of no other way to describe it. And now, Matt Gaetz has suggested Second Amendment solutions for Silicon Valley one day after a terrorist expressed his Second Amendment rights by murdering nine people in, well, Silicon Valley. Which brings us to Matt Gaetz. Because, you know, it's another case of saying the quiet part out loud. Here he is from yesterday. Talking Second Amendment.
All the fake news media, the Second Amendment is not about, it's not about hunting, it's not about recreation, it's not about sports. The Second Amendment is about maintaining within the citizenry the ability to maintain an armed rebellion against the government if that becomes necessary.
How much more do you need them to say, you know, it's Maya Angelou time again. When someone tells you who they are, believe them the first time.
I hope it never does, but it sure is important to recognize the founding principles of this nation and to make sure that they are fully understood.
Do you hear the shrieking maggots? Do you hear them growling and grunting? And the biggest cheers were when he said, armed insurrection against the government. Cold Civil War is getting hotter. And I still have this disgusting fear that we're not taking it as seriously as we need. And we do not understand the depth of the perfidy and the betrayal that exists within both the citizenry and the government itself. I saw a story earlier today. The vast majority of people who attacked the Capitol are still uncharged. And for all I know, uninvestigated. And I will say again, failed insurrections unpunished are dress rehearsals for the successful one. And yeah, he did, Matt Gaetz, went on and said that, so it's not for hunting, and it's not, the Second Amendment is not for hunting, and it's not for sporting. It's, you know, it's for attacking the government. But he went further. He said more. As David in South Carolina Stan alluded. Clack, clack, clack. Sorry about that. And so, here it is. From the same speech, standing in front of an America First backdrop. Did you notice he mentioned our political institutions? That's only because he and Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber got caught talking about their unique Anglo-Saxon cultural heritage. In other words, white supremacy.
The Internet's hall monitors out in Silicon Valley. They think they can suppress us, discourage us. Maybe if you're just a little less patriotic, maybe if you just conform to their way of thinking a little more, that you'll be allowed to participate in the digital world. Well, you know what? Silicon Valley can't cancel this movement, or this rally, or this congressman. We have a Second Amendment in this country, and I think we have an obligation to use it.
It's pretty clear. Oh, and by the way, the guy talking about American freedom and everything, Matt Gaetz there, he fucks little girls. Allegedly. And pays them for letting him do that. But that's a thing. You know, that's just a thing inside the Republican Party. Oh, God, who is that? There's another jackass. Child fucker. Out in Wyoming. The creeper who is running against Dick and a Wig Cheney there by the name of Anthony Bouchard. Well, back when he was 18 years old, he had a sexual relationship with a 14-year-old girl. Yeah, I know. And pressed on the issue, he said, "So, bottom line, it's a story when I was young, two teenagers, girl gets pregnant. You've heard these stories before. She was a little younger than me. So it's like the Romeo and Juliet story."
Nah, not really, Anthony.
No. Because back in the Romeo and Juliet era, they, of course, being fictional, but back in that era, there were no statutory rape statutes. But if you know the Romeo and Juliet story, well, there's a reason that Romeo and Juliet is a tragedy. They both die. Star-crossed lovers. In Fair Verona, we lay our scene. Where civil hands make civil blood, whatever. But that's who they are. That's who they are. Stephen, New York, pointing out 18-year-old guy with a 14-year-old girl, and I'm the depraved pervert. I don't. I've never said that. I don't think you are. But there is an unmentioned epilogue to the Romeo and Juliet story. It's about halfway like Romeo and Juliet. In Romeo and Juliet, both of them, Romeo dies and Juliet dies. Well, in the Romeo and Juliet story of Anthony Bouchard, she gets pregnant. Oh, yeah. And then, 6 years later, she dies. Pretty sure it was suicide. Just like Romeo and Juliet. Well, I tell you what, it just makes me want to cue up Lee Greenwood and belt out a chorus of God Bless the USA. But we'll have no singing. Because we are at $870 remaining for the month of May. And we're getting close to the end of the first hour, and it's time to go and check in the old holler tree. But Matt in San Francisco says, "Preach, sister. I agree 1,000%. The Democrats are not taking this as seriously as is needed. Just because they failed doesn't mean they went away. These people are stupid, but they're serious and determined. Our democratic republic is at risk. We need to act accordingly. God, we need a special prosecutor. Is it, and in terms of Senate procedure, did that procedural thing happen where Chuck Schumer changed his vote so that it can be brought back up? I don't know. But I know damned well I want Joe Manchin to be pressed. And I want to hear him say never ever again. I want to hear him say he will defend that filthy racist institution, the filibuster. I want to hear him say never ever again. I want to hear him say never ever for the remainder of his time in the Senate. And I want explanations. And tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of Americans want a serious, not bullshit explanation from Joe Manchin. And as to her absence, Kyrsten Sinema damned well too. Romeo and Juliet, Steve in New York says, okay, that's cool. If he says it's a Romeo and Juliet thing. When does he commit his suicide, too? Well, no, that's only for 20-year-old girls. Because he's gonna replace Dick in a Wig Cheney because she don't love Donald Trump enough, even though she voted 93% of the time with him. I ain't getting over that. Hang on, says Darlene. Republican Tuberville from Arkansas built multi-millions from people through a sketchy hedge fund and profited from his fraud, and yet he has yet to be investigated for this? No, he was investigated. He just wasn't imprisoned. He paid a fine. Wasn't there a former Democratic governor of Arkansas and his wife who were dogged for decades on supposedly illegally profiting from a minor investment that yielded them big bucks? Wasn't that brought to Washington compliments of someone named William Pelham Barr during his first go-round as DOJ Attorney General? And didn't he hand it to a young deputy AG with the last name Mueller, who set his underlings on it like rabid dogs because every crime must be investigated, no matter who the person of interest is? And didn't Barr still bring it to D.C., ignoring the Arkansas Republican AG's protests that it was a nothing burger? And didn't that nothing burger become part of a perv independent counsel's four-year-long dragged-out investigation of that governor when he became president? Oh, tongue-in-cheek. What was that nothing burger called? Whitewater. Yeah, the Democrat gets whitewatered while the Republican gets whitewashed. Oh, damn, Darlene. That's some good stuff. Yeah. And, of course, at the end of that, we add to that the same postscript we add to every other single story like this. I-OK. I-Y. A-R. I-OK. I-Y. A-R. It's OK if you're a Republican. Ding. There. That. Ron in Raleigh says, I want to see that arrogant prick Gates shackled at the ankles and dragged face first across the pavement. However, like Trump, I don't believe Gates will see the inside of prison. Maddie is the scion to a wealthy, politically connected family. These people, particularly Republicans, don't go to jail. Yeah, that's for the little people, ain't it? Oh, and hey, thanks so much, Cecilia. Thank you so very much indeed. We are now down to 8:45. 8:45 to go to finish the month of May. The darling month of May, I think, is the phrase. And we'll see. Hopefully, it would be wonderful to wrap it up before Monday. I'm still going to be here Monday. But I'd just like to have one fundraising-free day so that we can focus and concentrate on our Patreon subscribers and thank them and not have to talk about it anymore. Oh, but God, here comes June. Here comes the good stuff. It got gray and icky again today. But the rain I got caught in was a warm rain. Spring rain. And it was kind of lovely. And I liked it. And for the first time in a long time, over at my friend's, the 304 Cafe, they made soul rolls. Damn, them things is some kind of yummy. It's collard greens and yellow rice, saffron rice, and black-eyed peas, a little bit of chicken, rolled up in an egg roll wrapper and deep-fried, and then they serve it with their house-made Dr. Pepper dipping sauce, and oh my God. I forego the Dr. Pepper dipping sauce just because I'm trying to cut back on the sugar. Mm-hmm. But I was so, and it was so sweet, because the woman who runs the front of house, I'd asked her several times, did y'all gonna ever have those again? And she actually messaged me and said, hey, we got them today. I'm telling you first. So I had, and Agnes loves them. For good reason. There's just, oh, there's so much nice around here. And the young woman who came to the, I've known her for a while. Haven't seen her in a long time. But the young woman who came to the pickup window, because they're still doing carry out only. I mean, they've got some picnic tables. They're not doing inside dining. They're about to. But she came to the window and squealed when she saw me and said, oh my God, you're beautiful. Which just blew my damn doors off. And she said, you look so happy. And I said, I am. I'm happier than anybody has any business being. And I found out Beckley Pride is on June 12th. It's going to be my first Pride. And I'm over the moon excited about that. The last few of those, the last few of those have been attended as well by shit weasels who scream things at the people marching for their own authenticity and their own happiness living their own lives. That's okay. Can't take this away. And it's beautiful. And I was talking to Agnes on the way home. I called her to tell her I was on the way. And I told her what had happened. And I said, I don't think there's a place in the entire United States where I could have come out and been more well and kindly and sweetly received. And it remains that way. And I will be forever grateful. And, of course, a week from tomorrow, and I'm going to be working my skinny little white butt off all next week. I'll be on the air and everything, but the daytimes are going to be filled with food prep. Next week for Pride, I'm going to be cooking over at Maggie's Pub. Pulled pork. Smoked brisket. Pork's going to be smoked, too. And those wonderful catfish fillets. And it was just the tartar sauce and the hot slaw and the mild slaw and whew, probably work up some barbecue sauce too, just for those who want it. But the slaw is everything with those meats. And the tartar sauce with the fish. And the tartar sauce even goes great on like chicken fingers and stuff. But that's enough food porn. Thank you, dear Jude. It is beautiful, Jude says, when others become our mirror, dear Robin. Thank you. Thank you. And back to Anthony Bouchard, Anthony Romeo Bouchard. Romeo, says Suman. If this asswipe is Romeo, I'm Henry IV. The Democrats should go Iago on his ass. That's a that's a cowbell. That's a cowbell for a that's a cowbell for a three Shakespeare play reference. Romeo and Juliet, Henry IV, and Othello. That's quality. Thanks, Suman. That's great. And Matt in San Francisco, back to the doings in the Senate today, said, I think the votes were, Schumer outplayed. I think the votes were there to pass the investigation. Mitch outplayed Schumer. Those Republicans that didn't vote probably wanted to vote aye, but Mitch asked for a personal favor they couldn't bring themselves to vote against, so they just didn't vote. Goddamn spineless wastes of human DNA. Amen, amen, amen. And all God's children said, amen, Matt. They should be challenged every time they make a public appearance or do any TV or press. Bring back public shaming. It's going to take me a while to get over this. I think it's going to take the nation a while to get over this. And interestingly, Matt, the reason that is being given for some of them either voting no or not showing up was that they were afraid that it would drag into the election year next year and harm the Republicans' chances of defending all the seats that they have to defend and in hopes of getting the Senate back by beating Mark Kelly in Arizona, by beating Reverend Raphael Warnock in Georgia, and holding on to all their seats. No turning back, Georgia. No turning back, Arizona. Y'all saved America once. It's time to do it again. Because they're not going to let up. They're not going to go gently into that good night, these godforsaken maggots. I mean, for fuck's sake, Matt Gaetz is under investigation for child prostitution, public corruption, and he's out there actively telling people to shoot Silicon Valley, shoot up Silicon Valley businesses. The Googles and the Twitters and the Instagrams and the Facebooks. I mean, I'm no fan of Facebook. Mark Zuckerdweeb can, you know, well, never mind what Mark Zuckerdweeb can do. But no matter how angry or frustrated I get with him, I don't holler for people to go and shoot play. And for him to say this 24 hours after somebody shot up the Transportation Authority yard in San Jose, a guy who practiced apparently and deliberately targeted individuals and shot them so close and so clean that he killed everyone his bullets touched. And I guess Matt Gaetz is okay with that. Maybe they just had a killing coming, right? Is that it? Is that it? And thank you, dear Sister Jude. We're down to 425, or not four. We are down to 825 to finish the month of May. 825. Thank you, dear Jude. And meanwhile, Steve in New York says, I'm going to do a $23 challenge to put us under $800. So if that $23 challenge is met, we will actually be down to 777. I think. Sloppy Cyphron. 46, 25. So, 779 if Steve's challenge is met. Thank you, Steve. Sorry, Flavio. Flavio says, I'm trying to lose weight. Try not to talk so much about food. I need to lose weight, 30 pounds, because my osteoarthritis of the knees. I'm supposed to eschew starches and red meat and only eat vegetables and maybe some fish and poultry for 3 months. You can do it, Flavio. And there's great... And are you kidding? You would go wild over this catfish that I grill. Mmm. Yummy. Only up in Wisconsin you'd get to use walleye because walleye is the most wonderful freshwater fish ever. Steve in New York pointing out, Patty Murray, fuck them all, and super fuck her. God damn, I'm sick of this, just like I'm no longer caring about the daily massacres. I now officially don't care about any of this. I will concern myself with my family, friends, and me in all things. If a person doesn't fall into one of those three categories, all you get from me is the non-religious version of thoughts and prayers. I don't care. Flavio adding, and here in Mississippi, Robin Vos, the Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, hired two retired cops investigators to investigate the 2020 election here. This was the guy who was manning the polls clad head to foot in PPE and wouldn't allow people to vote absentee during a pandemic. Oh, he's horrible. I've been following his horribleness for a while. But the disease is spreading. The disease is spreading. And it has to be staunched somehow. No, says Scott in San Diego, these January 6th hateful bozos are not anything like Paul Revere. Revere was a silversmith. He worked in silver. Oh, and he was a patriot. These demented January 6th yahoos work primarily in fevered dreams and bullshit. The only possible exception here is maybe the Charlottesville contingent. They'd be the ones yelling the Yiddish are coming, presumably, to replace them. Yeah, I know. I hate saying you're wrong, but you're wrong, says Steve in New York. Insurrection Commission is the bumper sticker slogan we need. Yeah, thank you, Mike in Cascadia. Patty, and thank you, Ralphs. Patty Murray was away from the vote. She put a statement out relative to the vote. I had to fly home this morning for a personal family matter. The need for an independent investigation and trusted record of the facts surrounding the January 6th insurrection could not be more important to our democracy or to me personally. I again urge every one of my colleagues to vote in favor, and if Senate Republicans vote to block the January 6th commission this time, they can be sure I'll be ready to bring it back up and keep fighting to get it done. Well, that's not loathsome, at least. And I suppose... Well, and today has just been a series of more grievances from the Adderall addict at Mar-a-Lardass, complaining about Paul Ryan, and then complaining about,
why are the radical left Democrats in Georgia fighting so hard that there could not be a forensic audit of 150,000 absentee ballots in Fulton County? There can be only one reason, and that is because they know the vote was corrupt and the audit will show it. Republicans must fight hard and win.
And Schumer was correct to that in that regard. Those treasonous Republicans know that they have no party without Donald Trump. There is no turning back from where they are. When you wipe out the Palestinian Liberation Organization, you get Hamas. And what used to be the Republican Party of the United States, it is now, and I mean no slur against Hamas. Well, They used to, the Republican Party used to be the PLO, and now they're Hamas. And again, no slur against the PLO or Hamas. It's about what, you know, things don't, in conservatism, you don't evolve forward, you devolve. And that's what they're doing. We're watching it before our very eyes. Thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs met Steve in New York's challenge. Thank you so much. So now we're down to 779. Maybe we can do this. Thank you. David in South Carolina, Stan, says, the military response, I hope the next attack is met with swift military response to defend our nation. Because, you know, it doesn't look good to the rest of the world when a bunch of grunting assholes can attack the capital of the United States with impunity. It might give somebody an idea. Right? Possibly. And so I have filibustered in through the first quarter of the second hour, and I apologize for that. But sometimes things just take a little time. Let's run over and check in with Sparky, though. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Robin. How you doing?
Yeah, it's a little damp, but it's okay. It's cool and comfortable in here.
Well, I'm right underneath the air conditioning there, and Grady's over on the border, sacked out. He added a new title to his resume this week.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Not only is he a gopher hunter and rat hunter, he's a possum killer.
Oh, no, not a possum.
Yeah, possum. I found it yesterday morning when I went outside.
Oh, poor baby.
Out by the redwood tree. He goes outside and hunts around there every night. I mean, he come in one, I think I told you, he came in one night with a gopher or something. And set it on his bed, and I went, oh my God, what's that? Grabbed it, got rid of it.
Be grateful to whatever powers the universe has that he didn't eat it. I once.
No, he didn't eat it. He just crushed it, munched it up.
Not to ruin dinner in it. Well, it will. Not to ruin dinner in any particular time zones. But I once saw, and it stayed with me all these years. I once saw a yellow lab eat a groundhog and then return it on the kitchen floor inside out. It was about the nastiest thing I think I've ever seen. And I've seen some nasty things, but oh, God. I can't imagine possum would be any prettier, so thank you. Know, be grateful for the little gifts the universe gives you, Sparky.
Well, he was vulture food. I walked out there, and all there is a little clump of fur out there now. Right through it.
Oh, and that reminds me of something, Sparky, and I'm glad you mentioned vultures. You know, we've got the term vulture capitalism. But I was listening this evening on the way home, and I heard some reporter talking about the new Biden budget, and you know, it's NPR, and still they're trying to brooga-brooga the deficit. And she said, and some deficit hawks said... And I was thinking, you know, if they're they're deficit buzzards, because they feed on carrion, they feed on the wounded and dying of this country and this economy. So, you know, deficit buzzards.
Well, I got to ask you, did you happen to watch the Jimmy Kimmel show opening last night?
No, I didn't.
Well, Gavin Newsom was on there.
Oh, really?
He was Jimmy's one audience guest. He usually only has his staff in there.
Yeah.
And he brings in like a vaccinated couple or something to sit there. be his guest. So he says, and he panned over and he says, "Welcome, Gavin." And then he goes to the show that he's, and what do you do for a living and all this kind of thing, like he was a normal human being. Well, then he, you know, once he said governor and everything, he announced the California vaccine lottery. Have you heard about it?
No.
Well, on June 15th, there will be 10 lucky winners of $1.5 million.
And that, does that include everybody who is vaccinated up to that date?
Yep. Everybody that's vaccinated up till June 5th. And then there also be $50,000 cash prizes given out to 30 winners. Half of them will be selected between June 4th and the remainder on June 11th. Then the other thing they're doing, you, if you go get vaccinated, you will get a $50 prepaid card or a $50 grocery card for supermarkets like Ralph's, Food for Less, Albertsons, Vaughn's, Pavilion, Safeway, and Jamico's or whatever. And there are 2 million gift cards available. And what happens is after you get vaccinated, you'll get an email or a text which will tell you how to get it, the card.
And, you know, I kind of hate the way that my mind works. I've said that before, Sparky. But you mentioned all the, and the first thing that popped into my mind is that some anti-vax asshole will be out there saying, see, they know who's had the vaccine. That means they're tracking you with the Bill Gates liquid barcodes, what's in it, and the 5G.
Yeah, but if he'd been vaccinated and he knows there's a code on your vaccination card.
Right. But that's beyond these maggot weirdos. Morian.
I went to the doctor's office Wednesday, and the medical aide that comes in and does your blood pressure and puts this ET finger on you and whatnot, she goes, "Have you been vaccinated?" And I said, "Yes, I have." So I pulled out my vaccine card and handed it to her. And she had a trainee with her for the day, so she read off the numbers on my card and the dates I got vaccinated so they could put it in my record.
That makes perfect sense to me. But again, we live in a world full of anti-vax, or a nation with too many anti-vax assholes in it. I got a little sound clip here you might enjoy. This is Denver Sheriff's Deputy Daniel Duke Trujillo posting a Facebook video on his thoughts, we use the word loosely in his case, about getting the vaccine.
You fucksticks are really out on social media going,
"Of course I went and got my vaccine. I did my research. I know what's in it, you peasants."
Oh, buddy. You are the research. Being a Marine has taught me one thing. Never be the first to volunteer. Y'all rushing out there, stand in line and get the vaccine like folks rush out to get the new iPhone. And if history has told us, any new product that ever comes on the market is always full of problems. And you know how they fix those problems? You fucksticks are really out on social.
Yeah, so that's 33-year-old Denver Sheriff's Deputy Daniel Duke Trujillo, who at 33 years old is now dead from COVID because he said, "I got an immune system, you fucksticks." Well, his immune system was not up to coping with what COVID-19 does to a human being. The Denver Sheriff's Office tweeted, "We ask that you keep his family in your thoughts and prayers and respect their privacy during this difficult time." Well, okay. Can do. But I think we get to point out that, you know, he is a top nominee for the Darwin Award this year. Yes, Scott?
I'll do the thoughts and prayers immediately after I finish laughing and after I finish performing a novena to the goddess of irony, Jesus H.
Oh yes, I'm definitely dragging out a crate of rubber chickens and sacrificing to her this evening because, whew, that was cold.
You know, the only thing Governor Newsom is not doing, and I wish he would. If you're a little kid and you get a shot, what do you get? You get a lollipop. Well, we have cannabis pops out here. That'll brighten everybody's fucking day. You know?
Oh, I forgot to say the one thing. If you're under the age of 18 and you win the lottery, they put the money in a trust account till you're 18.
That actually makes sense.
Oregon's got a similar number, but I'm a little pissed off right now because I can't get any information.
Turn off your video, whoever's got it on, and we don't want to look at your ear.
Oregon's got one, but it's really strange because the statistics they use for the number of people vaccinated, they use the CDC guidelines. Because Oregon does not have access, other than through the CDC, of the people who got vaccinated by the federal government, such as on Indian reservations or through the VA clinic. But when it comes to the lottery they're doing, apparently they're only using the state of Oregon records. So people like me who got vaccinated at the VA aren't in the lottery. Did that make it through?
Yes, yeah. It did. Yes, it did.
Okay.
We just don't know whose ear we're watching right now.
Zap the guy that's got the video on. If they don't turn their video off.
This is Chris Vogt, formerly Christopher in Japan. Someone just asked me if it was my ear. It's not my ear.
Well, welcome. No, we don't know.
Can you check your video settings?
It's a mystery ear. There it went.
I told him I was going to zap him.
There goes the lamp. There goes the lightsaber.
Who is Gary T? That's who it was.
Oh, that was our buddy Gary.
And his ear.
Let's see. Let's do the hands thing. Billable Rick, go.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Terrible. I just got out of jail. I might need to bill you for it.
Yeah, finest frog hair. Finest frog hair, Rick.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I was just on the phone with somebody, a very nice southern lady, works for IRS tax practitioner hotline, and wasn't able to get a transcript. Because my stupid number didn't work, my representative number with the IRS, but it was, she was very helpful, a contrast to the lady yesterday for the same client who, was totally unhelpful. But, it's a beautiful day, another beautiful day here in paradise. Can't complain about too much because nobody's going to listen anyway. My back is better finally, kind of. Went to the chiropractor on Monday for the first time in my life. I woke up with a sore back for no apparent reason a couple of Sundays ago. He figured out that my left side was shorter than my right and did a bunch of adjustments, and the back pain migrated from the back to the left hip. And then it went away after a couple of days, and then he gave me some more adjustments today, and I had to ice it down a bit because, those adjustments are pretty damned intense, between the neck and the hips and the back.
I was a wrestler and martial artist, and I've been to chiropractors, and what's really helped me is actually calisthenics. That's just me personally.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Sparky.
Sparky? Is that you, Sparky?
I was going to say, I think my chiropractor screwed up my back.
This is Gary from Illinois. I'm on my phone right now.
Can we speak one at a time?
Yeah, somebody was saying about the chiropractor screwing up their back. Could you continue, please?
That was
Sparky. Oh, no, there was somebody. Who was that?
I thought it was Sparky. Yeah, go on, Sparky. I said calisthenics helped me. I said chiropractor helped me a little bit. Yeah, I want to hear what Sparky has to say.
Okay. Fire away.
I think the chiropractor screwed up my lower back and ruptured my disc with an adjustment back in 2001.
Oh, crap.
I've always been concerned.
If you know my story, I had back surgery the day after 9/11.
I remember that. Hey, Bill, did the chiropractor say it had anything to do with your golf game?
No, in fact, he said, I asked, hey, can I golf? I actually golfed the day after my first adjustment, and it was, I was a little, you know, a little tender in terms of the way I was swinging. I actually shot like a 71, which is pretty good, only 11 over, with a bad back. When I was 70, was it 74? No, it was 74, which, you know, it was pretty good considering, you know, I was like afraid to swing sometimes because I was like wearing an icy hot pack on my back because I was golfing one of those deals, you know. And mm-hmm. then the next day I played again and I shot like a 69. So
what? One way to protect your back down there in Los Angeles, just don't drive 140 miles per hour after your golf game.
Chris.
you know another way to protect your back?
Yeah.
Don't go to a fucking chiropractor.
Well, there.
it's about one step above alchemy and an exorcism.
Well, yeah, I've been kind of reluctant to do that. I mean, I was recommended by this guy's been recommended by my girlfriend Star. He wants me to go back on Monday, Memorial Day. I'm thinking, maybe that's too many adjustments in like that'll be like three adjustments in 10 days if I do that. No, I'd
Rick,
no, it'd be three
Rick,
adjustments.
Chicken blood and waving a dead chicken over your back would probably do about the same thing.
Ah, okay. Well, would rubber chickens on a blood moon?
Chiropractors are quacks.
Yeah. Well,
back trouble sucks, and I've been to chiropractors, and I've never had a bad experience, just me personally. But what helped me was really calisthenics, and I still have back problems, but you know, yeah.
So jumping jacks, what are your go-to calisthenics?
Body weight training, like body weight squats, body weight push-ups, bridges, convict conditioning was a book series that I read. I read multiple volumes about it. And I injured my knee really bad skateboarding one time, and I used that to rehab by myself.
I'm partial to 12-ounce curls. That's pretty much all I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the story.
Take it easy on the golf. It's good to keep doing it, but it's good to keep, you know, stay on the horse, but it's like maybe take it easy a little bit, you know, because that can be hard on the back, you know.
I'm thinking three major adjustments in 7 days, maybe a little too much. So I'll probably no, I'm not going to make it on Monday. Let's just see how the back's doing.
Yesterday was kind of rough for me. I had like neck nerve spasms, like four of them, and God, those things suck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, y'all may you may recall that a little bit ago, Flavio said, "Take it easy on the food porn." Well, Flavio wrote back, "There you go, perfect. After vultures and carrion and what the dog brought in, I suddenly don't feel like dinner anymore." Yeah, you know, full service radio network, Flavio. I'm happy to help. Happy to help.
As long as you brought up food porn.
Well, hold on. I got a note from Darlene in Connecticut, too. Wow, says Darlene, dude is dead from COVID now? guess who the real fuckstick is? Too bad he's dead and no one can tell him that. And he's a Marine who learned he should never volunteer himself first. He wasn't drafted. An Army veteran told me this. Okay, so no intentions to insult anyone, but Marine equals my ass rides in Navy equipment, and Navy equals never agree to volunteer yourself. Looks like Mr. Fuckstick... Wait. Looks like Mr. Fuckstick No More was in the wrong branch of the military to begin with. Fuckstick No More. Oh, that's
why do you think they call them jarheads, Robin?
Well, I'm trying to avoid that. I've got friends. We've got friends and family members in this community who were Marines.
Robin?
Fuckstick behind.
But Mr. Fuckstick No More. That's just that. Oh, Darlene's working the pro working the pro level tonight.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
This is Gary from Illinois.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, I'm sitting down here in Fayetteville, North Carolina right now with my daughter and son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys got lots of winding roads going past Beckley, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yes, we do. Where did you go through on, 70? How did you come down?
Come down 77 yesterday.
But did you just straight out of Ohio all the way through Charleston and Beckley and all that?
Yeah, we come down across 70, then 64, then 77, and everything. Yeah, but my best friend I have in the world lives next to me. He's a paraplegic now. He was in the Marine Corps in Nam. His main thing was he kept calling it the Union Street Mothers Club.
USMC, right?
Yes.
I've also seen Uncle Sam's Misguided Children.
Yes, that too. My brother-in-law, he's a little bit southern right wing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ask if you can go to Go-Mart and get him a three-piece chicken.
I'm not a Go-Mart chicken girl. I've had it, and if it ain't Chester fried chicken if you're talking about fried chicken at a convenience store, if it ain't Chester fried, it ain't shit.
Yeah, I know. I've had Chester fried in Texas and Missouri, and that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's really not bad.
Hey, Robin?
Yes.
Have you ever had fried Chester?
No, that is a culinary delight that I have thus far avoided.
Yeah. No, my partner, when he was in Brazil, that's what they used to have. For their Thanksgiving, they wouldn't have turkey. They had Chester.
I thought that's something Hannibal Lecter likes to eat. Fried Chester.
That's chest.
Oh, Chester, a guinea pig?
That's a good fried chicken.
No, Chester. I think it's a specially bred. I don't know how they make it. It's like a. I don't know if it's related to chicken or turkey, but it's an especially large and meaty. Some sort of bird. I'm not. Seen
well, I'm sure Flavio will have an answer for us.
Right. By the way, I just want to say I love everyone here, even though I fucking have come to hate everybody else. So.
Oh, I hear that. Well said.
Nice to be on the good side.
And I know, and Robin probably is bearing the brunt of my surly, annoyed. Far beyond my 50 years of age emails, I just can't listen to any of this shit anymore. I just don't care. I just don't care.
I feel the same dang way myself. And this is Christopher, formerly in Japan, speaking. I feel the same dang way.
I don't care.
But I will point out both Christopher and Steve, sorry, the different four things happening at the same time. I will point out that that's the way they want it to be.
That's fine.
That is their deliberate tactic. Drive you from the field of battle due to ennui and rage.
That's fine. Oh, I'm not angry. I'm not in rage. I just don't care. This is the next step right before I put all the ducks in a row before I head north of the border.
I'm heading south of the border myself. Maybe I even got a spot in Mexico, if you'd believe that. You know, and I just got a case, man. I'm cutting down signposts, doing various things.
You guys are going to bail out on Gilead?
Hell yes. And we might even end up in New Zealand. I have a client from New Zealand, and I'm talking to him about immigrating there, so...
Oh, quick update on the disgruntled worker who shot up the VTA yard in San Jose. They've searched whatever was left of his home after he set fire to it. Therein, he had 12 firearms and 22,000 rounds of ammunition.
Holy shit. Hey, Steve, can you make a new award for your award show, Euphemism of the Year? Disgruntled employee, I think that's right up there.
Well, we have to have the award for the gruntled employee of the year. I think the gruntled employee ranks right up there with the person who makes the sex clams of the year.
Oh, and just yes. Just to go back to the disgruntled worker, by the way. Remember, he made $160,000, but the Los Angeles Times story I'm looking at right now says, authorities on Friday said an initial search of his house discovered multiple cans of gasoline, suspected Molotov cocktails, 12 firearms, and approximately 22,000 rounds of various types of ammunition. And they point out that he hated his $160,000 a year job.
Oh, cry me a river.
Best for last.
A really, really tiny one, you know, with the plaintive sounds like the Civil War, you know, letters.
Yeah. We need the Civil War music. Exactly.
Oh, yes. What is it? Don't make me do that. Don't make me do that.
Oh,
and Scott's had his hand up.
Yeah. By the way, Robin, I just sent you an email with all the lyrics to Monty Python's Dead Parrot sketch in honor of the late, recently departed Sergeant Fuckstick. Maybe you can use some of those similes.
Yes.
Oh, that's now perfect. We won't use the Civil War music, but that's perfect because let's see. Let me just work with this.
Okay.
Let's see. Mr. Fuckstick, I've got a lovely fresh cuttlefish for you if you show. Yes. He is, the fuckstick is stunned. Yeah, fuckstick stun easily, Major.
Hey, Robin, do we know if he was a private, a sergeant?
No, we don't. We don't have any of that. We just know that.
I fuck stick.
Yeah.
I like it to the tune of Johnny Comes Marching Home. Fuck stick comes marching home again. Hurrah! Hurrah.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. Fuck stick goes into the ground again. Hurrah! Hurrah!
Hurrah,
hurrah.
Oh man, I shouldn't have opened that. Wow. Even
it
that
came
even
out that, with soda that, again.
That kind of karma is going to get me. Oh, shit.
And he worked at the downtown detention center, and they recorded 11 active COVID-19 cases as of Thursday. He's working in a confined area with 11 confirmed COVID cases. I got an immune system, you fuck sticks.
Hey, Robin, are you sure that this didn't come right? This almost sounds like a revelation direct from the goddess of irony.
Oh, it is. She just did. She gave him the great whoopee cushion of life.
I mean, this came right from her oracle.
I've got a question for Rick, kind of a legal question. This has been on my mind, and it's my plan to give Mike Lindell a series of horrible days, but I don't know if it'll work. The FTC, Federal Trade Commission, I believe, has some say in what constitutes false or misleading advertising. Okay? Right. His little pillow company has a slogan, a singing jingle, for the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit nameofcompany.com. Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, there's like close to 8 billion people on the planet. All of them sleep at least 8 hours a day or night. It's provable. It's not provable that that product results in anything like the best night's sleep for the entire 8 million people on the planet. So you'd have to figure out how many pillows has he sold or scammed people into buying. And that's nowhere near.
I have one word for you that Rick and Robin will understand.
Uh-oh.
Puffery.
Yes, and hyperbole. It's allowed.
Yeah, it's allowed.
It's allowed in advertising.
I'll allow it.
But it's a claim.
But now it's
puffery. You can say anything. It's like saying we have the best fried chicken.
Right, right, right. Or Bob's World Famous Burgers or whatever it is, you know?
Well, fuck.
Has anyone ever seen the movie To Be or Not to Be, the Mel Brooks movie?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen that one, Steve.
There was a wonderful phrase in there from Anne Bancroft where she mentioned, I don't remember what Mel Brooks's character's name was, and the person, and she referred to him as world famous. And the person said he'd never heard of him, and she said, he's world famous in Poland. And I think that about sums it up.
That's good.
Is somebody like falling down? Are they masturbating online? What's happening?
Yeah, let's not even ask that question in case that please.
I think that's me with the new hits. I apologize.
Fred is.
I wanted to give a quick introduction because I know that I've been in and out of this community here and there and stuff. I'm formerly Christopher in Japan. Now I'm Chris Vogt in Oregon. I'm just saying.
What's up, Chris?
Oh yeah, so just
are you no longer Christopher or are you no longer in Japan?
I'm no longer in Japan. I'm still so Christopher.
Where are just you now?
In Oregon.
Oh, so we've got two Chris's in Oregon. Now I understand the disambiguation.
Oh, this is going to clear everything up for everyone, right? I assume.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a great big honking mess, Chris's. the fraternity of Chris.
Yeah, finally.
Hey, rising up. I'm sorry.
He's not in Portland.
Did you guys meet my challenge?
Yes, it did get met. We are down to 779, and we've been kind of in a holding pattern there. And, well, that kind of makes my liver quiver.
Folks,
Sparky's got his hands up.
Can we just, come on, help Robin out here.
Thank you, Steve. It would be, well.
Let's remember something. Let's get her some real boobs.
Them's fake boobs.
Fake boobs. We need a t-shirt.
Well, I'm working on my SLW t-shirt.
We need some sort of pledge donation of whatever that we need to have it, them's fake boobs as a t-shirt.
Yes.
I mean, Robin, you have to use these priceless.
I'm terrible at marketing, but I get your point.
Yeah. Can I just tell you, I would love to wear that because I would love to wear that to Pride because I would love to see the looks of as I would walk by, the looks of people like, what? What the hell? What's the hell? What?
And then you get to tell the story.
Yes, but we have to put the logo of the horn somewhere integrated in. Oh, my God.
And see, the funniest part of all of this, and Sparky, I'm coming right to you. The funniest part of this is that years ago, at the very beginning of the horn, in our first year of existence, I had a bunch of T-shirts made that had our logo at the time, which was like a 57 Chevy coming at you out of the night, mm-hmm. you know, head on, and it had headlights. And it was okay by me back then, but Agnes put it on and said, and just looked at me and said, "You asshole."
Can I just tell you something? I'm going to tell you something.
Because the headlights were right on the headlights.
Perfect.
There's something you need to do. You need to really tap into her. I mean, what has become increasingly clear is she is overflowing with amounts of wit.
Yes.
And you really need to tap into that.
Agnes is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm thinking head on, I'm thinking somewhat pornographic, head on.
Quit it. Don't even go there.
Okay.
I defended you as not being a pervert earlier. Now quit it.
I'm not a perv. Well, okay, never mind.
Well, wait a minute. Can we say magnificent tits on this show?
I think you just did.
I was like,
and we wonder why, and people wonder why we. Oh, we need more girls in this conversation.
Did we? I was going to say we went off into the gutter, but I don't think we did. We just kind of didn't go off in the gutter. We just went off. We went off on a different direction.
It's we not... got a tangent. We just fell into the ditch. That's all.
Well, here with about 9 minutes left in the second hour of the program, I have great thanks to send out to Darlene in Connecticut because she just put on the table, and if you can't respond to this challenge, you can't respond to a challenge. The courtesy of Darlene in Connecticut, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans, a member of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society, Darlene in Connecticut has just put on the table... And this has never happened in horn history before. The Them's Fake Boobs $100 challenge.
And you know what? I'm going to put on the chat. This is really horrible of me to say it. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to actually put another. It's only going to be $10. It's another $10 Ain't Buddy Delicious challenge.
The Ain't Buddy Delicious challenge?
Yes.
Okay. Push that envelope, Steve. Push that envelope.
Yes.
So there's $110 in challenges on the table now. That would get us down to, $7.59. That'd get us down to $5.59.
Hey, Robin, put me down for 15 for the fuck stick. E Dad.
Okay, so let's see. Ain't Buddy Delicious challenge of $10, courtesy of Steve. The what was that again, Chris?
Fuckstick. He did.
Fuckstick. He did. $15 challenge and the $100 Them's Fake Boobs challenge, courtesy of Darlene in Connecticut. That's $125 in challenges.
Robin, you're not saying it right. Go ahead and say it again.
No, you do it.
Them's fake babes.
Oh, them's fake babes.
Babes.
I think the
babes.
$100. The fuck stick challenge is 15, and then there's another $10 challenge, and I don't.
So we've got.
And then adding in, I just had a note from Mike in Cascadia. Robin, I haven't contributed in a while, and my credit card was changed due to fraud a couple of months ago, so I need to reset my monthly contribution. All that said. I'll do $25, and if somebody meets that, I'll make it $50.
Oh hell, we have enough.
So that's $150 worth of challenges, which if met would cover an entire day of broadcasting, and that's the the Mike in Cascadia's I got hit by credit card fraud challenge. Goes in with the
Robin.
Fuck stick.
He did.
Challenge goes in with the what is it, Steve?
Buddy is delicious challenge.
Buddy is delicious challenge. And the Them Spike Babes challenge, courtesy of Darlene in Connecticut.
Is this like a no-hitter where you're not supposed to talk about a possible community-made miracle? But it's starting to have that kind of... I don't know if you're... You know, it's like pitchers don't talk about a no-hitter, but it's like...
No, nobody talks to the pitcher either, but that doesn't work in talk radio, okay?
Robin?
Yes?
Robin?
Yes?
I can't do a challenge because I'm a po' boy. I'm just a po' boy. But I will... since we're talking about boobs,
nobody loves you, Scott.
I believe Randy Rhoads uses her song "Bounce Your Boobies"
yes.
to open the Friday show.
Yes,
in memory of Rusty Warren, who sings or used to sing that song, who died the other day at age 91. I'll kick in $10.
No, Scott, make it a $10 challenge.
No, it's $10 into the fake boob challenge.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's towards the fake boobs.
Yeah, so there's $90 left on the Them Spike Babes challenge. Thank you, Scott.
So we'll be bouncing our boobies at half staff today. Or is it half mast? I don't know.
It's half anyway. It's
I'm pretty proud of my man boy boobs, but they don't bounce very well.
Oh my God.
Robin,
I think that we actually are starting to maybe not go off in the ditch, but we just had a blowout in our tire.
Hey, Robin.
Walk it.
Robin, can you give the family, the Horn family, an update on the magnificent phlegm ball?
Yes. With half his decomposing brain tied behind his back, literally. Flush phlegm ball, the great communicator, America's truth detector, L. Rushbow. Is still dead.
Thank you.
That's good to know. It's good to know that Flush Flembaugh is still being a fuck stick in the ground.
Fuck stick. He did.
Hopefully he doesn't become a zombie on us or something. You know? For real.
L. Rushbow, like Sergeant Fuckstick, is hard as a carp.
Okay, what's the...
You can hear me drink water, but you can't hear me talk? Fuck.
Hey, Jeremy.
I've got a new headset. I keep messing with the mic, and I can't figure it out. But like I said, you can hear me drink, but you can't hear me talk. It's so weird. But hi.
You'll figure it out. It's stressful, this technology stuff.
What's new, Jeremy?
I need to get on this line. I can hear you just fine, buddy.
Nothing too exciting. I was trying to tell Rick, but he's not seeing the chat, that I saw Bon Jovi last weekend. And I really think he should go. I really think he should go see him live now. I really do. I mean, he's got a touch with musicians. I really, really think he should go.
I love Bon Jovi, dude. I might make that a goal, dude. No doubt. Man, I love Bon Jovi.
I used to love Bon Jovi.
I'm a cowgirl. On a steel horse, I ride.
You know what?
I'm gonna leave you alone on that one, Robin. I'm not even gonna play with that one.
Yeah, I used to like Bon Jovi for different reasons than most people like Bon Jovi. So
I just like the music.
Oh sure, and I read Playboy for the articles.
And I just liked it naked. So
yeah, not afraid to admit that I like that soft. I like to listen to that soft radio stuff.
Well, you know, while we're on all of this, I got to share a headline that Darlene in Connecticut sent along, so that we can have equal representation here. Goop, the company, and all we have is the headline from Vanity Fair. The Supra headline is Goop Gone Wrong. And Goop, of course, is the ridiculous company run by Gwyneth Paltrow that has marketed such things as
jade eggs for women to cram up their vaginas. And recently they marketed, of course, and it sold out almost immediately, the Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina-scented candle. Headline, headline, Goop responds to frivolous lawsuit claiming that its vagina candles explode after lighting. Subhead, this class action filing comes after another customer claimed at the beginning of the year that the candle turned her living room into an inferno. And I'm going to resist all urges to make jokes. I'm just going to let that thing be what it is because it writes itself.
I can see Gwen Paltrow's vagina turning a place into an inferno. I can tell you that. You try to make out of it.
Fire. Bow-no-no.
Yeah, that's their fault for playing Foreigner's Hot Lovin', right?
Hot-blooded. I was thinking more of the Ohio Players singing Fire, but, you know, no singing because we got... let's see, 25, 35, 50. We've got $150 in challenges on the table, and if I sing, we may wind up finishing May in a deficit.
I was just going to say, people better start taking their money back and sing.
Well, I have to go there since we're off the rails anyway, but has it been nice enough weather that for you to grind your own sausage yet?
Working on it. No, actually, I can't grind my own sausage yet, but I will have you know, Jeremy, that I am going to pickle my own sausage.
Jesus.
And I have to tell you, I love to stuff my own sausage.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Please, can we get some girls in this conversation? Pretty please.
Those of you from the East Coast, more Park sausages, Mom.
I like to actually stuff my sausage into a rump roast. Oh, shit. Sorry.
I prefer to go down to the butcher shop and I get a fresh pig, and that's how I get down.
Auntie Matt in San Francisco is going to start calling timeouts here if you people don't behave.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, uh-oh, Auntie Matt, SLW, is going to start... Did you hear what I just said? I said W. Isn't that also a West Virginianism?
That's corn behind the corn pone curtain stuff. W.
Okay, I'm gonna step off.
Oh, wait a minute! No, stop! Just wait. Time out. You know, speak of the devil, and she appears. Matt's been on a roll as a gold star gay. I've never seen a vagina in person. Are they supposed to catch fire?
It can make you feel like you're on fire.
Yeah, but that lends a whole new meaning to smoking after sex.
Oh, that's great. Oh,
that's a double cowbell.
That's really good.
Cowbell.
Well, thank you. Oh, Jesus.
Just remember, Robert De Niro, Men of Honor. Pleasure is one night, but syphilis lasts a lifetime.
And by the way, thank you, Roger in Oregon. In the spirit of challenges, I submit my challenge of challenges. If the $150 worth in challenges is met, I will kick in $100.
Wow.
And so that would be $400, and that would get us down to almost funded for Monday. And now all we got to do is get responses. If we haven't run the entire live listening audience away with this little express train through the gutter.
There was a young woman from Dallas.
Don't.
Maybe Gwyneth Paltrow's listening.
I have to ask, when I hear Gwyneth Paltrow's...
God's trying to take us into the sewer.
Yeah. When I hear Gwyneth Paltrow's hoo-ha, I just think of like, I feel like, you know, the smell would be
Wait,
like,
there's somewhere you can hear it?
I was thinking the smell was like Vicks and like cobwebs.
I'm going to try to kick in a few bucks later on if I can figure it out. But I am currently unemployed. I was working.
Oh, don't sweat it, Christopher. Don't sweat it. Please. Don't hurt yourself. It's okay.
Yeah, we want this challenge stuff to go on, man. It's been going pretty good so far, you know. And yeah, man, good on you, man. And hopefully this.
Thank you.
Anyway, someone else's turn to talk.
And I got to share this. I got to share this from Shorty in L.A. LMAO. Thanks, Scott, Darlene. I think it's actually thanks, Chris in Portland, Darlene. Darlene, it says Shorty in L.A., Darlene, girl, you made me spit out my Friday brandy. Them spike boobs. And Chris is, fuck stick, he did. And from and from Shorty, you get ROTF, rolling on the floor. Fuck stick, he did. Oh, we're horrible.
That could be on a t-shirt.
That was a real dude's chat right there. That's why you keep saying we need more of some women to chime in or something. Yeah, that's how us guys get down. We can't help it. or us, you know, I'm not a specific, I'm not, you know, or us transgenders or us, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just too confused. I've been going through.
The confusion is real, believe me. And I got to tell you this, over on my Facebook page, and I put it on my Instagram and Twitter too, our buddy Irwin out in Montana sent me a meme earlier today. And the minute I saw it, I started belly laughing. And it's been happening to me a lot lately where, you know, you can't catch your breath and you can't stop laughing. And it goes on for several minutes. There's a label on it. It's a picture of Bigfoot. Jeremy's already seen this.
That's not very nice, Robin.
I know, but Bigfoot's circled in yellow, and it says, Joe Manchin's bipartisan Republican cited.
But here, see, the problem with this is that Bigfoot actually might exist. That does not exist for Joe Manchin.
Well, that's true, you know. What's the difference between UFOs and Joe Manchin's bipartisan Republicans? It's possible UFOs exist.
I'm actually in Southern Oregon. I'm not in Portland. And, I mean, I know there's a Chris in Portland, so that'll distinguish us. But I'll tell you, Bigfoot lives right next door to me. So.
Oh, I see Kyle has showed up. He's yowling now.
I don't really believe in Bigfoot. I do.
Yeah, Robin, you start bringing up pussy's on fire, and look who comes to the door.
God damn. Let it go, Chris. Let it go.
Actually,
we're trying to survive May here.
No, Chris should get a cowbell for that. That was actually pretty good. That was funny.
Yes. I like that. Okay.
Thank you, Jeremy.
I'll tell you what, to maybe cleanse our palates, how about a TV viewing tip? Would that be all right?
One second. I can happily announce that Charlene, also a member of the sorority of Leans and founding member of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society, has kicked in $50 toward. She said, "I'm sending $50 toward Sister Darlene's challenge, the Them Spike Babes challenge," and Barbara has jumped in on that as well. So thank you, Barbara, and thank you, Charlene. That means that. We're $10 away from being done with the Them Spike Babes challenge. See, I'm saying it the right way every time now. So that's fantastic and so helpful. Thank you so very much, Them Spike Babes. I got to get some less spike-looking boobs. I got to quit ordering off Amazon. Because, you know, they come from China. They come from China.
China. Does Ivanka have a patent on those?
Yeah, wait a minute. Let me have a look. Son of a gun, Chris! Explains everything now.
I was only in jail for 8 hours, but I even made the guys in jail laugh, and that's not an easy thing to do. So I finally started to realize that I am kind of funny. And, yeah, that's me. I've never been confident enough to call this show before, but I've listened to it for years.
Oh, I'm glad you did. and you're welcome anytime.
It's not a bad time, is it?
Nah, I'm having a great time.
Oh, and by the way, because in regard to them spike babes, Brother Deacon Asa has noted, and true, I recall this, Brother Deacon Asa says, or them's ain't no Walmart titties, a la Sister Carol Baker.
Oh, God, you guys are killing me.
You! You! God. Okay, so, Scott, TV viewing tip.
Okay. For those of you who have TCM on your TV system, your cable system, you can get the TCM app. And if you missed a movie, you can still catch it via the app. Just send the signal to your TV and you're all set. The other night I watched a documentary which I hadn't seen for years called Harlan County, USA.
Oh, God.
It's about the coal miners down in...
it's the coal, the Cold Wars.
The Cold Wars, yeah. And I'll tell you, I had forgotten about most of it, but after watching it, I literally missed it up. Because you talk about courageous people who took a stand and followed through. That movie is available through about the middle of June on the TCM app, Harlan County, USA. It's inspirational. It's inspirational. And I'll never make fun, not that I do, but I'll never make fun of country folk again. And nobody should, I guess, but sometimes we can't help it. But I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, them spike boobs, I mean, that was not an urbane denizen of Gotham who said that, okay?
No, that's true. But
if you could repeat the title, because I was trying to write it down and I didn't have my pen handy.
Harlan County, USA.
Yeah.
Harlan County, USA.
Is that in eastern Kentucky?
Oh, it very much is. It's right there near Virginia.
Okay, here's something that's kind of freaky to me. a couple of years ago, before Eddie Montgomery died for Montgomery Gentry, they did a song called Harlan Mountain. And basically, one of the chorus basically says, "You'll never leave here alive."
Oh no, that's a song called "You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive."
Yeah, I think they remade it. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's, yeah, okay. Darren Scott originally did it.
Where the sun comes up about 10 in the morning and the sun goes down about 3 in the day.
Yeah, in the deep dark hills of eastern Kentucky, that's the place where I trace my bloodline. And it's that I read on a hillside gravestone: "You'll never leave Harlan alive."
Yeah, that's a chilling anthem, and you kind of gotta, if you've ever been there, you understand where the idea comes, and it's so steep and so mountainous, and they're so packed together that really there's just not a lot of daylight to be had, and when night comes, it is goddamn dark night, and that darkness contributed to the violence. And it's a Central Appalachian thing. There's a town here, more or less a ghost. There's a ghost town here that's in the national park called Thurmond. And at one point in time, it was so booming that more coal moved through Thurmond, West Virginia, than moved through Wheeling, Pittsburgh, and Richmond combined. Or maybe Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Wheeling. And you did not, it is said, you did not walk down the railroad tracks because there were no roads. It was strictly railroad. You didn't walk down the tracks at night with a lantern because you would not make it home. You'd be killed. It's a stunning history. It's a bloody history.
I just popped it in the chat window with a link to Amazon Music if anyone wants to hear it. It is pretty a chilling song.
Thanks, Jeremy. Hey, real quick, I have a viewing tip, too. Has anyone seen Searching for Sugar Man about Rodriguez? It's absolutely an amazing story about this guitar, a guy, a rocker from, well, more like a singer-songwriter guy from like 1970. And he only did a couple of albums, but he became like this massive phenomenon in South Africa, but only South Africa. Nobody picked up his songs here. Nobody. I mean, he was a nobody everywhere else in the world except for South Africa, and it's an absolutely amazing story. And the songs are great. I thought he was really talented.
What was his name?
Rodriguez.
Just Rodriguez from South Africa?
Well, he's from Detroit, but his stuff sold. There was one song, I think Sugar Man, or no, it was another song on that first album that became like an anthem, an anti-apartheid anthem for the time. Yeah. And it took hold in South Africa culturally. And then there was all these fables that popped up about Rodriguez, that he killed himself, that he set himself on fire on stage, and all this crazy horse shit. But the guy was living, so everybody in South Africa thought he was dead because you know, all these
things like that happens with celebrities. Huh? I just said it seems like that happens with celebrities sometimes, like people think they're dead and they're really not.
Yeah. But it's an amazing movie. Searching for Sugar Man. Really, really good.
Well, so, I have good news. The Them Spike Babes challenge has been met, courtesy of Brendan. Thank you, Brendan. And then, just so I can keep up with the, I got to keep up with the challenges. Let's see. Bernadette, she of Pree's Trees, the most wonderful salve for what ails you in the world, Bernadette just kicked in and wiped out the Fuckstick, he did, challenge.
Thank you, Bernadette.
So now we have the $10 Buddy is Delicious challenge and the my credit card got hit by credit card fraud challenge from Mike in Cascadia. That's 25. Buddy is Delicious is 10. There's $35 more in challenges. And if those two get met, then Mike in Cascadia kicks in another 25. And Roger in Oregon is kicking in 100 on top of all of that. So that would be $425 out of the $779 we had remaining. And that's humongous.
That'll be humongous, man. Yeah, I hope so. Dude, I hope it gets met, man. These challenges have been good ones, you know.
Well, it's not every day. It's not every day you get a Them Spike Babes challenge, and that's just magnificent. Thank you, Darlene, for making it and you know, helping to catapult the. Helping to catapult that delightful moment in my life and in my transition.
But isn't that like the one of the best? I mean, when you think about it, isn't that that's one of those where you go, oh yeah, that should have been a challenge. Yeah.
But it could only happen with the Friday on the Front Porch gang. It's entirely appropriate that it's happening this evening. By the way, I got another story just to sort of lighten the mood. I ran across this one the other day, and like I said, it's been happening a lot lately. Why, yes, Dr. Freud, thank you. My Freudian slip is showing. Whoops. I ran across, and I was hopeless. I was helpless for about 5 minutes. So this couple badly want to have a child. And they try and they try. They go to fertility specialists, all of that. And they finally just realize it's not going to happen for them. They give up. And then, as is so often the case, they give up. And then, lo and behold, they become pregnant. And so they're anticipating the blessed moment. And the baby is born. But their joy is tempered because their baby is only a head. No arms, no legs, no trunk, no torso. The baby's only a head. But it's a happy head. And they take care of it, and they, you know, they doctor and everything. On the baby's 12th birthday, on the little head's 12th birthday, they get a call from his physician. And the doctor says, I have fantastic news. There's a new procedure. It's not that complicated, really. And we've got a donor body for a body transplant for your baby head. And it'll be perfect, and everything will be so wonderful. And so yeah. they hang up with the doctor, and they go charging up the stairs on the little baby head's 12th birthday, and they say, "Oh, honey, we've got such good news." And the head, and little head looks up, and we've got a great gift for you for your 12th birthday. And the little baby head looks up and says, "I hope it's not another fucking hat."
my answer is you got to get a head somehow.
Oh, there's more to the story, Robin.
Yes.
Once the surgery is over and the head has been united with a new body.
Yes.
The kid joins a little league team, and they win the state championship. And on the way home, he gets out of the bus and is crossing the street to show the patch and the trophy to his parents, and he's run over by a car.
I know where you're going.
And killed.
I know where you're going.
And the moral of
the story is, everybody say it at once, quit while you're ahead.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say something different. Mine was going to be, what's that on the road, ahead? That comes right from Benny Hill. So.
Oh, I got another one, courtesy of Scary Jerry. This one's visual, but it's the maggots climbing the walls at the Capitol on January 6th. And there's a gorilla at the top with the superimposed a gorilla at the top with the barrel.
Yeah, and Donkey Kong.
And the caption says, Honky Kong 2021.
God's sake, just Taurus. Including McGrath's 6W ME shirt. Just Taurus.
Oh, that's great.
Honky Kong 2021.
That should be a t-shirt.
Robin, can I just momentarily revisit the bodacious tatas topic?
Only if you must.
Also, it's a TV viewing tip. Oh. Also on the Turner
tip. Accentuate the tip, right, Scott?
Also on the TCM app is the Blake Edwards movie, husband of Julie Andrews, starring Julie Andrews movie from, I guess, 1980, Victor. S.O.B.
Oh, S.O.B., yeah.
Have you ever seen S.O.B.?
God, I think I have, but maybe only once.
Where wow, she flashes her upper frontals?
Yeah, that's...
Now we're going back into the ditch.
Julie Andrews? Julie Andrews does, Scott?
Julie Andrews does.
Oh, my God. Really? Sister Maria. Wow.
The hills are alive, I'm telling you.
Oh, sure they are.
Oh, Jesus.
But seriously.
Run! That was always the gag with that. The hills are alive. Run! Run for your life!
What did I say, Robin? I got
S.O.B., check it out. It's pretty funny.
I got to tell you, Robin, for my money, honestly, given all the shit that's going on right now, this has been one of the best Friday on the Front Porches, at least for me, that I've experienced in a while. We've had a lot of humor and lightness and love and whatever from everybody that we've had in a while. And I hope I'm not hogging and speaking only for myself, but there's been a lot of love here and a lot of fun that I don't know about anybody else, but I fucking needed some fun.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
I mean, I needed to stop talking about filibusters and January 6th commissions.
I don't want to even hear that word or name again. I never, ever.
Well, and you'll be pleased to know.
Volcano ready?
Wait a second. What did I do with this?
And Robin,
yes,
I'm gonna pop you one last time. You need to get your ass on the phone and call me about
this shit. Yes, I absolutely do. I absolutely do. And God, I think.
Sorry, Robin.
That's okay. Check in with me like Sunday. Just see if, I mean, you know, if you've got some time, and that way it's not in your work week. And...
How about Monday? I'm gonna at least work at home on Monday afternoon. You know what? I'll email you and say, look, because I think that could go a long way to alleviating some of the stuff that is going on.
And and thank you, Christopher, another member of the fraternity of Christophers. Thank you, Christopher. The Buddy is Delicious challenge is met, and $10 awesome. And $10 of the My Credit Card Got Hit with Credit Card Fraud challenge, courtesy of Mike in Cascadia. $10 of that is met, so there's only $15 remaining in the challenges.
And I'm going to say one last thing, then I promise I'm going to actually just mute and listen for the rest of the time. I know I owe people some special stuff. I'm not going to make excuses. All I can say is I'm sorry. It's still in the process of doing it. So I owe a Zabar's, I owe a Katz's, and I owe a, oh shit, one other thing. I haven't forgotten. It's been much longer than I thought, but I will get that stuff out to you guys. I was looking at it the last couple of days to make sure that the various offers are actually still valid at the various stores that I had offered them from. The Katz's, I'm not sure, so we may have to do something else. But I'm pretty sure they are. I just want everyone to know, I'm not like a person from Horn Nutraceuticals or Super Beats, where I'm not really, you know, or Buy Gold Now or I don't know, et cetera.
Bose Wave Radios.
It's in process.
You don't got to meet your phone unless you really want to, is what I think. You're apologizing to the wrong people.
No. People made donations based upon offers that really cool shit that I had said I would do. And there's a number of the people who I made those offers to, they've gotten the stuff that I sent. But it's just taking me longer than I thought, and I don't have any excuses other than to say I'm sorry. Tracy, I'm talking to you if you're listening.
That's understandable, bro. You know?
Yeah. I do want to ask one thing. The person, I don't remember who it is I sent the chartreuse to. I just want to hear what you think.
Oh, that's, yes.
The guy, shit. He's in Iowa, right?
Yes.
You are leaving one thing out, Steve. The super surprise extra secret bonuses.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not. This is like real shit.
Yeah, that's Harold, president and CEO. Harold, president and CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society.
Well, that's the Sachtra, right?
Sachtra, yes.
Okay. Well, Harold, if you're listening, please email Robin. Let her know that I want to know if it's everything you'd hoped for, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And once I get these three things all finished, I'm looking to come up with another really, unfortunately, it's going to be a very localized, really serious challenge in the New York City area. It's probably going to end up being close to $1,000 challenge.
Whoa.
Yeah, and it's going to be, it's going to be me making dinner for people for 4 or 5 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got to figure out how to do it, particularly with COVID, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm thinking, you know, I'm in the process of working on that. But the other things, look, folks, I know you're waiting on shit, and lest you think I'm like Mr. Pillow who just doesn't send shit, or, you know, says Jesus told me not to. If that's not the case, it's in process. I just have been bad about it.
No sweat, Steve. But thank you for the update. And I got another update. We are $5 away from Mike and Cascadia's challenge being met. And so what that ultimately means is, let's see. That means that if those challenges are met and then Roger's challenge of challenges added on, we will be down to $349 to finish May. $349.
In other words, it's essentially just one day in arrears.
Yeah. One day's worth and $49, and we are done with May. And I can, you know, it may not mean so much to so many other people, but it means the world to me just to not talk about this for one freaking day.
You know, I gotta say something, and I'm a little pissed off at Roger. And Roger, I hope you're missing. I hope you're listening. We haven't heard a lot of your garden/food/canning/pickling food.
Well, I actually jumped in on Roger a little bit ago. Roger had a food porn moment for us, and this would be a fine time for. Just one last thing, because we got hands up, and I'm doing a terrible job because Steve from Georgistan isn't here this evening. Jessica, go please.
I still am distracting you. I want to hear from Jessica. Go ahead, Jessica.
Absolutely.
Hi, Robin.
Hey, Jessica. How are you, dear?
Oh, doing all right. I was in my garage tinkering on some model railroading projects. And I have to ask, is it rutting season?
Kinda.
Hey, Jessica, can I ask you a real quick question? Then I promise I'm going to shut up. You have that kind of "I really need a hug" sound to your voice.
Well, it's more like everybody else. I've just had a long period of, and things are starting to look up. So it just, yeah.
Okay, I'm reaching out. I'm sending a cyber hug to you because I'm getting that vibe.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So if you're in Minnesota, right? Minnesota, right?
I'm a stone's throw from the epicenter of the Greater Rochester Metropolitan Co-Prosperity Sphere. So if you know where Rochester and the Mayo Clinic is, that's...
Not a clue. I know that's where the Mayo Clinic is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you know where Minneapolis St. Paul is, I'm about 2 hours away.
Okay. I just want you to feel my arms around you, holding you, and saying, "You really need a hug." And here it is from the middle-aged, big, as I was called, big gay Steve. So I want you to feel that and. Yeah.
Hey, Jessica, how far are you from the Bachman's Pray the Gay the Way camp?
Maybe you can go burn it down.
I would have to look and see where that is, but I'm going to assume that's somewhere near the metro, so they got about 2 hours.
Okay.
But anyway, back to your point, Jessica.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I heard you call for a little more estrogen in the room, so I thought I would come in.
Thank you. And Darlene answered the call as well. So it is much appreciated. And I'm so glad that you and Susan enjoyed the story of my adventure at LabCorp.
I'm still chuckling at that.
He talked to me in with voice talking, but I've talked to him for years, or her, or
yeah. Well, I am so glad you're here, Jessica. And by the way, thank you for the 10 for 10 challenge the other day. That was just lovely, and it made me feel wonderful.
Well, like I said, you're very, very deserving of it. So.
I want to hear more about Jessica's model railroads. What I want to hear about.
The next question would be, which one? I've got a number I'm planning, and I just started work on a new one, so.
That is awesome. You know, I'm all about model railroads. I don't make them myself. I've been breeding rabbits recently myself. That's kind of been my project. But
I got an old one for sale.
What? A rabbit hutch or a model railroad?
A Lionel train set from the 50s.
Ooh.
Darlene's had her hand up for 10 minutes, y'all.
Darlene, jump in, please.
Yeah, find it.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Robin, you said that there's only $5 left. And
yes.
And won't that'll prompt another challenge to kick in, to meet another challenge?
No, there's $5 left on all the challenges.
All right, well, I'll do the... It'll be $105. So you're all set.
Thank you. And yes. And by the way, thank you. Thank you for the Vanity Fair headline.
That was hilarious, huh?
Yeah, it's not every day. It's not every day you get a headline about infernal vagina scented candles.
Yeah, it was an inferno. Two things. And then I have to jet myself. After 2 years and 5 months of back and forth with the state of Connecticut, including wrestling with them, Wanda the Honda is finally sitting in my garage.
Oh, my God.
Finally happened.
Hooray.
I drive
Yeah.
And is she Darlene, is she all kitted out like you need and everything?
She's gorgeous, and I'm afraid of her. She's, oh, my God. She's high-tech. The final ticket price was $84,055.20. I will never forget that number.
Hey, Darlene, we need an update on Buddy the Beefalo since it's getting to be summertime.
That'll be the second thing. The state of Connecticut covered half, thank goodness, and I covered the other half. I was able to get a decent trade-in on my RAV4, which I'm going to miss desperately, because it was a great car. You know, it doesn't have Bluetooth. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles that Wanda does, but it was a great, reliable car. But it was just getting too difficult for me to get in and out of it. So, Wanda, this will be the first brand-new car I've ever purchased in my entire life. I will never, never in a million years would I have thought it would have been a minivan. That would have been the last thing I would ever buy. But it is the first brand-new car I've ever bought in my entire life that I've never even test-drove.
Can you post a picture, Darlene?
Sure.
And how come the name Wanda?
Because it rhymes with Honda.
Honda.
And my mother,
okay. Well,
Wanda
okay.
The Honda, and my mother almost named me Wanda.
Oh.
So it's just, I thought it was just kind of a funny thing, and I like to name things, and because then I take ownership of it. And Joanna, my RAV4, I treated her well, and she treated me well. So I hope many years with Wanda, and it's got everything. It's got all the bells and whistles. It's very high tech and extremely expensive. And I did actually let it go into drive today in the bay of the garage, which I had somebody back it into the bay for me, and it wanted to fly out of that bay. So I'm really scared of it because I've never used hand controls, and basically I'm looking forward to the driver's training.
So I was about to ask you, is there a range that you can go on where they will where you can get comfortable with the hand controls before you have to jump out onto the mean streets of Connecticut?
Pretty much. I mean, I'm going to get driver's training probably about 10 hours worth, unless I'm a quick study, which I don't know. The only person that only took about an hour, she said, was somebody who used to fly jets. So he knew how to use hand controls, and he picked it up very quickly. So I do have plenty of areas here. I have a church across the street, so that's very easy. There's a lot of room for me to practice there. I have a parking lot next door to the house and a good-sized driveway. But I'm afraid to take it out of the bay right now because I have to back it into the bay, and I just don't think I am skilled enough yet to do that. So.
And what color is she?
Oh, she's red scarlet.
Ooh, arrest me red.
Red scarlet. She's beautiful. Yeah.
Darlene, why don't you look up and see if there's a Nazi rally nearby? That would be a good place to practice.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. You're killing
me. No, wait a minute.
Rob, there's more cowbells right there. Come on.
This brings up interesting possibilities, Darlene. You said it's really tricked out, souped up, and got all the features.
Yeah.
Take it to the Nazi rally, especially if it has a see-through glass panel in the floor so you can see who you hit. So you know who, where to send the flowers.
That's a second cowbell. Come on, that's another one. Oh, my God.
Kind of like those glass bottom boats. And
Yeah.
Oscar, I'm just practicing.
Just back, sorry. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, instead of the woman who drove through the vaccine site yelling, no vaccine, maybe no anti-vaxxers.
Exactly. Yeah, well, you know.
What's wrong with us?
Because it has a automatic, because the ramp is, it has a ramp that this automatic ramp that comes out, it is very low to the ground, so going to get hurt really, really bad. There you go.
Drag them. I mean,
Drag them. Oh, my God. Drag them. Jesus.
Serious question here. Is this one where this comes out the side, and you wheel your chair in and then park your chair in the driver's position, or do you have to shift from a chair to the driver's seat?
The former. That's a great question. I don't have to do a transfer. So this is really souped up because I drive from the wheelchair. So they have a whole lockbox set up, and I had a couple of pins put into the bottom of the chair because it's a power wheelchair. I drive right up the ramp, hook around, and drive right into this lockbox setup right in front of the wheel, which is a low resistance steering, and they're the hand controls to the left. So I can drive it from the wheelchair, which is great.
Now, is it also set up to where a able-bodied person could drive that van for you?
Yes. Yes, there is a removable bucket seat. Everything is leather interior, which I had always wanted heated. So all the seats are heated, except, of course, I'm driving from the wheelchair. So I don't benefit from that, but the dogs will love it when I take them various places. But, yes, it's removable, and the actual seat is sitting in the garage right now. So, yes, anyone, as long as they don't touch the hand controls, which I'm supposed to disengage when I shut the vehicle off, although it does not appear to be doing that, so I have to talk to them about that. But it can be driven by anyone who just regular. The only issue is of concern is the low resistance steering, which is highly responsive. So that's to accommodate my shoulder issues. So somebody would have to really get used to the low resistance steering.
So it's super power steering.
Yes, it's like it's very easy.
Hair trigger steering.
Exactly. And I'm sitting here very worried about the hand controls. They're saying I'm going to have the low resistance steering is what's going to take a lot of adjusting to.
All right. Well, your comment
the
about
pod bay door, sure. Hal. Open the pod bay door.
Comment about low resistance steering. There are some cars that are like 7 full rotations lock to lock, and there's other that are 5. Is this like 2 turns lock to lock or something on the steering wheel?
I don't know because I've never driven it. I'm thinking it's 2. I'm thinking that it's like two turns. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, from a lock to lock, hard left to hard right.
Right.
Which means that when you're driving it in the old-fashioned way, if you turned the corner, you had to turn a full rotation to make a right-hand turn, say.
Correct.
This is only going to take a quarter rotation to make a right-hand turn.
Correct. So I'm thinking it's more like two as opposed to seven.
Yeah, it's going to be a real challenge to get used to that.
I'm hoping it won't be. I mean, there's a tri-pin grip setup that's at the 2 o'clock position, so I can rest my whole wrist and hand, my right hand, which is weaker, in that. And
what happened?
I'm older, and I have to. It was very difficult. This will be like nothing. And Roger is correct. It'll take time. It's going to take some adjustment because it won't take much. Yeah, it won't take much. So
the reason I bring these up is at one time I was driving a truck that we commonly called Power Steering by Armstrong, and it was like 15 turns lock to lock. On the truck, and I, you know, drive that for 10 hours, and then I'd hop in my pickup to drive home, which was like a 6-turn lock to lock, and I had to accommodate each time, and after a while it became, I'm in this vehicle, this is the way I steer, I'm in that vehicle, that's the way I steer, without even thinking about it. It's just like driving a 13-speed transmission. At some point, you don't even think about it anymore. You just put your hand out, you know where it is, and you just go to the next gear or push the button for whatever it is without thinking. So it does come. It just takes a little while to work on it.
Right. They're expecting the driver ed instructor is budgeting about 10 hours of training. And I have a lot of good areas here with which to do that. But I am scared. I mean, I'm worried. This is an incredibly expensive vehicle, and I'd hate to have a problem crashing at the moment.
Well, no.
But the beauty of it is if you've got driver's ed, you're probably going to have a closed course somewhere.
No, we're going to use what's ever around here, and it'll be for the comfort level of the instructor. And there is a special brake attachment to the hand controls right now. And that is on there, and that is what she will use to brake the vehicle if she's feeling like the vehicle's getting out of control. So there is a separate attachment that is part of the hand controls right now. That once I get once I pass the driver's training will be removed. So there are some safety things built into that. And I talked with the instructor. She's really cool. And I have, like I said, I have a parking lot next door. I have a big open church area across the street. I think there are plenty of opportunities and good places for us to work on this. So, but see,
you're on the right path, and a parking lot's a good place to learn how to drive. You know, I taught my friend how to drive in a parking lot once, you know.
Now, here's the big question.
It does sound like a trip. Trying to drive with just your hands and stuff, but yeah. Anyways, you turn to.
Have you set up all the presets on your radio?
He helped me set up a few of them. Yeah, with the it's already connected with my iPhone, so that's pretty cool. It's got a big computer there. Everything is push button because it's a Honda, so everything is push button.
Yeah.
So it's really nice. And I am legal to drive it. I could take it out right now and not be pulled over by a cop.
But you are a woman with a fully functioning big primate brain. So
exactly. So I don't want to take any chances with that.
Tequila along, and you should be fine. I'm just joking. I'm just being sardonic. No, I do know that that's a real issue for you learning to drive this new vehicle.
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying.
You know, and I was just going to point out, Darlene, you mentioned it and didn't focus on it or anything, but there's a part of me that's really glad that you're going to have an instructor who's a woman.
Yeah, she's really cool. And, you know, I think that we just hit it off. So she's a lot of fun, and we could just talk about anything. And she wants to meet my two pups. And, you know, so I think that's going to help a lot. I'll be very comfortable with her, and I'm a pretty good driver. So I think I've never test driven the thing, and that was always what sealed the deal for me in my previous vehicles, is the test drive. And because of the unique situation, they never let me test drive it. I've heard from other people that it's a very nice car. It drives great. So the situation's quite unique.
You know, I was just thinking of something, Darlene. I think I was like maybe 13, and I was at that point in time, I was showing no interest in driving whatsoever. But I remember my dad throwing me the keys to the Chrysler, and I'll preface this by saying, how long is your driveway? He just had, in order just to get a sense of the controls, he said, just go out and back it up the driveway and put it in drive, and just no accelerator, just let it come back down, learn what the brakes feel like, learn what the accelerator feels like backing up, and just do that. And after I became proficient at that, it was, you know, on dry days and everything, it was, okay, so turn it into the yard, turn right into the yard, back out of the into the driveway, all of the... Just and depending on the length of your driveway, that might be a great thing for you.
Yeah, that's the plan. I have plenty of driveway to do that. My big concern is backing it back into the bay. I don't think I'm ready for that anytime soon. But I had the vendor back it in, so it's sitting there, and we're having really bad weather for the weekend. We have a horrible, horrible weekend set up.
Oh,
for
it's horrible here too.
Lots of rain and cold and everything else. So I figured when I know we're going to have several days of dry weather, that's when I'm going to bring it out into the driveway and practice that way. And if I am too concerned about leaving it, I can leave it in the driveway over, you know, during that time if I still feel I'm uncomfortable with backing it back into the bay. So I can leave it out in the driveway. And we've had car thefts in the area, but because it's a unique situation, just lock it up. And I don't think too many people are going to be able to steal it because it doesn't have a bucket seat. It doesn't have a seat.
Robin's story about learning to drive, it reminded me of that sink or swim stuff. Like the old man rows you out into the middle of the lake and drops you off. That's what it's
about. Well, no, she meant garage bay, not you know, the like ocean bay. So,
I meant, I'm sorry, garage bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Arnold,
no,
just
I'm not going to drive it into any water.
Arnold just wrote in, Darlene, and said, when it comes to driving, the best advice I could give you is just put in the seat time. And said my suggestion about the driveway is perfect. Thank you, Arnold.
It's a terrific idea. That's my plan.
And you said you got to get away, but okay, Buddy.
Buddy. So I do have a report on Buddy. So Buddy made it to Critter Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary in Florida on April 19th. And there's some great videos on Facebook. You can check it out. He was reluctant to get out of the trailer. And they had him in a high fencing, almost like a chute type of thing. And he was reluctant to get out. You should see that there were two male farmhands. They grabbed the door, ripped it open and ran. And he stood there for a while, and then he bolted out of there like the running of the bulls. I mean, it looked like something like this. Literally, he looked like a bull running into a bullfighting arena. And there was a woman off to the side. Again, it's all protective contact. I think her name is Emma, and she was talking to him, and he pulled up really fast and looked at her and just stared at her for a while. I don't know if that's the first woman he's ever seen or in a long time, a human woman. And he then got spooked and ran a little further up, and then he ran back towards the trailer. Now, apparently they didn't show this on the video. But I don't know how the hell he jumped this fencing, but there were two horses in a paddock next to where he was released.
Oh, shit.
And they were watching him. Like, these horses, even though I think horses are basically dumb animals, they basically kind of know that some new animals coming into the farm, and they were watching. Well, I guess Buddy jumped the fencing into the horse paddock. He wanted to be with other animals, so he was hanging out with the horses, and so they had to get
just
him
chilling.
Back.
There was no fighting or anything. They're just chilling together.
He wants to be with other animals, so they had to put him back into quarantine. So they had to quarantine him, and I think the lady Emma was saying, you know, we have to keep him in quarantine till Monday. So I don't think it was over the weekend. And then he got pissed and he jumped the fence again to get into another field with some cows. And he almost, they were kind of cryptic about it, but the two male hands that work there, one of them, he bumped, I guess he kind of crushed one of the guys there.
I do find work for a living, you know.
He slammed into some guy, he bullied some guy,
you know.
He banged into him, and then they wound up bringing him back again. So they expected that his adjustment was not going to be smooth because he was going to be stressed out.
Is the guy okay?
So, but I guess the both are all right. Like I said, they were very cryptic about it. They're like, "Oh, he's okay," and they was like, "Well, he did
worried about the spot, crushing."
He didn't crush any of the cows, did he?
The
thing I wanted to say is that, like, when you try to fence in animals, you're only deluding yourself, because when they want to get out, they're gonna get out, you know.
Yeah, and it's amazing. You're right, because it's amazing, because I looking at this fencing, I don't know how he was able to jump it, but they did. They Emma kept stopping by every day and leaving him treats.
Yeah.
And then one day she goes there. She goes, "I didn't bother him. I just left him treats." And then one day she shows up and he's right there at the fencing. And allowed her to feed him by hand and was licking her hand. So he really likes her. And then finally they released him into a field with about. They showed it on video, so you can see it on Facebook. They were like, "We're really worried, but he's ready. Feed into everything." And he's kicking back his back legs up. He's happy and he did great. They said as long as he's with other cows and bulls that are happy, he's happy. So they said they had nothing to worry about, and that he was he's happy, he's adjusting great, because now he knows he's safe. And he was playing with some of the other bulls, kind of headbutting and stuff. So it looks like he's in his forever home. But just as a final side note, he has been harboring a secret.
Yes?
Yeah.
He's been harboring a secret that was not revealed until he got to Critter Creek, where the experts could take a close look at him.
This doesn't have anything to do with them fake udders, does it?
Well, sort of.
Cowbell.
Oh, my God, really? Sort of?
Buddy Bell.
Buddy is in fact not a beefalo.
What?
Okay.
Well, never that means was, never has buff. Been, never will be. He was not a beefalo. No. He's a cross between two things. He's not a cross between a bison and a buffalo. He's a cross between a bison and something else. So if y'all want to try to guess, I'll give you 15 seconds. Don't cheat. Don't cheat.
So don't he cheat. Is a cross between something else. I'm not going to cheat. I don't know this.
I can't imagine.
Your woolly mammoth?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Well, then you stumped me.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm licked.
Can we rule out Chihuahua?
Okay. My one question is, how is the farm dude? Because he's actually, honestly, who I'm more worried about.
I guess he's okay. They said he's okay. Again, they were cryptic about it, but it sounds like he's okay.
Okay, I got to know. I can't stand the suspense.
Okay. Think closer to home, but outside the box a bit.
I mean,
sheep.
Dog, give up. Say it.
Okay, he's up.
Breed with other than a buffalo or bison.
He's a cross between a bison and a cow.
Oh yeah. So he is a beefalo, in other words.
No, he's not a beefalo. No.
Okay, there are different categories of like bison cow hybrids.
The revelation, they call them bison cows. He's not a beefalo, he's a bison cow or a bison moo, MOO. And it didn't go over well on Facebook. I guess there are people that got really angry and upset and were swearing and everything else on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah, and saying that you're ruining the story. He's a beefalo, and they're like, no, he's not. Because apparently bison and buffalo are extremely different animals genetically. And I guess you really can't mate them. You can't pair them up. So,
well, you know what this all is, Darlene.
American.
You know what this all is, Darlene.
Yeah,
it's fake moose. Fake moose. It's fake moose.
Fake moose.
Exactly. Because you're exactly right, Robin. Because guess what they called the people at Critter Creek?
Oh no.
Snowflakes.
Oh, they called them snowflakes.
Oh,
called them snowflakes, and then they.
So
were
are they going to have to set up separate bathrooms for these animals now?
Well, they refer they do call them by the pronoun he. You know, he. So I don't know if he's. Robin? I don't know. Buddy might be part of the LGBTQTIAA.
Can you add another letter? Yes.
Let me jump in here for a second. Let me jump in for a second. Buffalo and bison are distinct animals. The old world true buffalo, the Cape buffalo and water buffalo, are native to Africa and Asia. Bison is found in North America and Europe. So when we call those mangy beasts running around Yellowstone Park buffalo, we are misusing the term. They are bison.
We're misspeciesing them.
We are incorrectly. I'm actually part Native American, but it's kind of like when we call the Native Americans here Indians. You know?
Yeah. Ain't nobody been to India. Yeah.
Yes, right.
Well, according
to...
people
in question.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I like that, Jeremy. I caught that. He said, is he beefalo questioning?
Ah! Exactly. Why? Or he's non-binary or something. But
non-bisonary.
He's non-bisonary. There, I love that. He's non-bisonary. Here's what I'm reading from their post from Critter Creek. Buddy is a mix of a cow and a bison, not a buffalo. Buffalo and bison are two very different creatures. Seymour, I guess that's one of the sanctuary animals there, is a buffalo. Cinnamon is a bison. They are only distinctly related in the bovine family. Second, there's no such animal as a beef. Beef is a colloquial term for a food product.
Oh, we got some serious art of word knowing going on here.
Yeah, so I'd argue that animals aren't food at all.
They started calling pigs pork. And then we all got really confused. That's
1066. Christopher, you gotta let people finish their thoughts and then jump in.
No worries.
You're new to this, and it's the limit. It's like me talking with Jude last night. It's the limitation of the technology, especially when people get all excited. Darlene, it's all just wonderful news, and I'm very glad. Especially about Wanda the Honda, and a little bit ago, Randy and PA pointed out, if you post a picture, it'll be WandaVision. Ah,
very good.
We got a million of them tonight.
I got
thanks to send out to an anonymous friend and to our buddy Henry. We are now down below the $300 mark. We are at about 275 to finish, just to be finished with May. That's wonderful. It's more than I ever dared hope for. And I got some happy kitty cat news. The little litter that got dumped with us, and whom Agnes has done a fantastic job, raising, were taken to the local Humane Society shelter today, and they are a no-kill shelter, and they no sooner Ferg and his significant other took them, and they were no sooner through the door than they said, we've got those kitties are going to be transported to Maryland because we've got people who want them already. So that was a real happy ending for us relative to that. And
I love happy endings, and I also love the kitty talk, and I also love that Ferg has a significant other.
Yeah, and she's great. She's absolutely great. And we got Darlene. I got a question for you. I got to get out of here because I got to be up at like crazy tomorrow because I'm getting on the road. First real road trip in a long time. Greg says, please ask Darlene to explain why she thinks horses are dumb animals when they're very fast learners and they're trained and they can even figure things out like how to open gates and escape the barn.
That's a good question. Somebody I don't like likes them. And
oh, is that why?
I don't know. That's what I've heard. I don't like them. Yeah. I don't, you know, that's not to say. But I'm comparing them to elephants, which are my favorite animal and I think are the most intelligent animal on the planet. So I'm thinking in terms of in comparison to elephants. They're not going to top an elephant. Sorry.
It's pretty hard to top an elephant.
Point of order.
Only an elephant can top another elephant.
Yeah, so that's the context I'm coming from. My apologies.
Darlene, if the elephant is one of the most intelligent animals on the face of God's green earth, how did it become the symbol for the dumbest political party on earth?
I agree. That's
a moron. Yeah.
Quick food porn. Real quick.
Yeah, Roger.
I finally convinced my wife that this week we are going to make a pasta. What do you mix basil and oil and pine nuts together?
Pesto.
We are going to make a garlic scape pesto this week, and I will report back next Friday.
Excellent.
Right? Oh, damn, that's going to be something.
Be there to get that report, man. That sounds awesome.
Wow. That sounds wonderful.
Hmm. Anyhow, that's my food porn update. I got lemon cucumber starts that I got to put in, and the peppers are growing, and I've got a couple of tomatoes getting started to grow on. The plant's been growing, but I've got a couple of blossoms that are showing the beginning of the fruit, and the cilantro's doing good, and I'm eating broccoli.
You like your own ingredients like that. Yeah, that sounds like some freaking heck of some pasta right there. I just have one anti-food porn story, and I'll make it really brief. Just that jail food sucks.
Well, that is brief.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, Darlene, those are wonderful photos. Wanda is simply beautiful.
Isn't she? Yeah, long time in coming. I hope it was worth the wait because I'm anxious to get the training done because I am so far behind on everything. On everything. I just saw, that's funny about the elephants. The picture there, the elephant pooping.
Go on. Sorry. Jimmy Nipper.
There's just a lot. Doctors, I'm getting yelled at by medical doctors, veterinarians, everybody, because I physically have not been able to go anywhere. And, The problem is I can't get on my state representative's case, the counselors and everything, because the only reason I'm getting this is for work, even though that's not realistic, but they can't talk about life needs. So, I'm anxious to get moving because I've been making appointments for June, to move forward with my life. So this is huge. It's huge.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And thanks, everybody. I got to get out of here, get the upload done, and get pull things together to get on the road tomorrow. Probably going to rain the whole time. First road trip in forever, and it's going to freaking rain. Everybody have a great weekend. And thank you all so much for getting us so close to a real live, no kidding, honest to goodness, community made miracle. This is pretty miraculous anyway. And it's deeply appreciated. I've got an announcement on the way out the door. Thomas got hold of me and contacted me. Please. I know how y'all are. Thomas contacted me and asked me to please announce, and I'm happy to, that The Best of Mike Malloy is going to start airing at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern, so 6 a.m. Pacific and noon Pacific, on Saturdays and Sundays over at FYINation.com. So that'll be a great place to listen to some previous Malloy. And it's great. Any place that we can expand progressive voices is wonderful. And Thomas has busted his ass to get FYI Nation back in proper trim. And so Saturdays and Sundays, 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern, The Best of Mike Malloy on FYINation.com. That having been said, thank you all for jumping in on these various delightful challenges. Thank you to Darlene for making it. Thank you to Steve in New York for making it. Thank you to Chris in Portland for making it. And thank you to Mike in Cascadia. Thank you to everyone who responded. If you're listening to the podcast over the weekend or anything, we can finish. We're just a little bit under $300, and we can finish May and have a fundraising free Memorial Day program if we can do that. So again, thank you. Thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to each and every one of you who contribute a la carte. Thank you so much. Thanks to every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatsoever manner you may choose. Thanks to our all volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky at the seat of honor around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of Congress and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. That spells AIC, the AIC Act. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine if you haven't already as soon as you can. If you've gotten it, then still you've got to be careful. Got to be careful about where you take your mask off. Continue to wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. You know, we've cut down significantly on colds and flus and transmissible just because of what we've been doing over the coronavirus. And that's great. Wear your masks when you think it is appropriate, especially if you're around people who aren't vaccinated. And if somebody comes towards you hollering, "Hey, you fuck sticks, them's fake boobs," avoid that person like the plague, because he is. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Later.